The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Red Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. What a show you are about to hear. There is so much going on here at Gillette Stadium. I'm telling you, it would keep even Paul awake, if that's possible.
No.
All right. Well, the gang's all here. Andy, Eric, Paul,
you might want to turn
Fred,
your mic on.
And not my Kevin usual in the seat. Booth, plus the world's most interesting Patriots fan decided to stop by, James Pettigrew, with his boring friend Ivan.
Hello, hello.
So hello.
He actually called him the most boring Patriots fan.
So we have the most interesting and the most boring Patriots fan in the world.
He's a tax lawyer.
webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. And I got a feeling people are going to want to be using that today. This is can you remember a more interesting Patriots training camp from the
2007 when Randy Moss arrived?
That was more interesting than this.
No,
one?
It was equivalent.
This
say.
Is more interesting.
I think it was equivalent
because it all happened.
The answer is
once.
No, Eric.
We had 4 months of Randy Moss leading up to then, and we kind
of
knew.
It was sort of a rhetorical question. So each of
no, I don't think. I don't think it was a rhetorical
not with negative,
question.
Negativino in the room.
I think. How is it negative to say 2007 was?
Because everything
as
was
exciting.
Better in the past with you.
I didn't say it was better. I said it was equally
all
exciting.
Right. Most exciting training camp ever, Fred. I'm with you.
Yeah, again.
As you know, Fred, I'm always with you.
Right.
You're such a kiss ass.
And it's not even April. So much going on. Albert Haynesworth, we're going to talk about his debut on the field. Of course, we're going to talk about Ocho Cinco. We will talk about Randy Moss retiring, although.
Nobody believes him.
Yeah. Not only that, but I'm not as like. You know, head over, you know, excited about that announcement as some people are. Like
excited took, as in...
Well, it took up a lot of, oxygen yesterday among the media, and I don't think it's such a big deal. I really don't.
Well, around here it might have a little bit more because there was no practice.
But
so
in
there
what
something
way?
To talk about.
He's one of the greatest players to ever play the game, and he retired. You give him his due.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wasn't like, when I heard the announcement, I was like, oh, okay. First of all, I don't necessarily believe that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
If an offer comes around, he's not going to come out of retirement. But it just didn't seem like it was such a big deal to me. And I don't know why. That's just my
Yeah, I mean, just because I feel like you probably will end up playing again doesn't mean it's not a big deal. I'm sort of on Andy's side. I think he's one of the greatest players ever to play, and he announced his retirement, whether you believe it or not.
Right. I guess maybe I'm jaded it is because a big so many deal. Of these guys.
Now, if he does it 11 times like Brett Favre, then you know I won't be treating it the same way every time.
Right.
Like ESPN will.
In his case, though, like Favre, you know,
that's round one.
Wants to play until he's, you know, 95 years old. Moss, you can kind of see him saying, you know what, the hell with it, I'm tired of this game. Even though he's in supposedly freakish shape.
To me, right? It was the absolute epitome of Randy Moss, him retiring. He couldn't get it his way,
right.
So I'm just going to take my ball and go home.
Right.
Like the petulant child that he always has been.
Right.
He couldn't get one of the teams that he deemed worthy of his services to give him evidently what he wanted, a multi-year deal.
Right.
So rather than sit around and wait for maybe a bad team to offer him something, or even worse, no team to offer him anything.
Straight cash, homie.
Right. I'm just going to retire. Right. After, like Eric says, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from when Joel Siegel said he's in freakish shape.
And maybe
shape.
That's why
and
I'm
I don't,
not...
And I buy that, by the way. I believe that he is in tremendous football shape because I believe that he did feel... Like Andy's been saying all offseason, that I have to come back and show all these guys that they're wrong.
Yeah,
but he didn't get it on his terms because he still insists on he has to be that feature guy.
Maybe that's why I'm not like all, oh, boy, Randy Moss is retired. Let's, you know, maybe that's why I, you know, as what Paul said, that's why I'm not so.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think if the right offer came along after a month or 2 months midseason, there's a team that has a rash of injuries at wide receiver.
Yeah,
they might be willing to pay him what he wants and give him a longer-term deal or whatever. I don't.
But no doubt he will go into the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about that.
Eventually,
but
yeah.
Will he go in the Patriots Hall
of Fame? That's a question that maybe we'll talk about later. But I know that a lot of people want as much information as we can give them of the practices so far that we've seen. So, you know, any of you guys want to chime in first with initial thoughts Thursday through Monday of practice?
Well, it's more news than just a thought, but I think we should touch on the Albert Haynesworth Sunday debut. Came out for the morning walkthrough, number 92 in blue, and then for the afternoon session, full pads, and was blowing up offensive linemen, Ornberger and Wendell. Had a lot of success in a half-line drill where he killed the guard, even if Fred may have missed it. Then he had some success.
I saw video, by the way.
I saw
video that's very incriminating.
No.
Against you.
But
let's argue later. Let me get the news out, then we'll argue. Let me get the news out.
Okay.
He then took part in full team work, where again, he looked pretty good. Then he took a quasi-cut block, sort of a chop block.
Yeah.
And went down, was on one knee, and then later was over with Jim Whalen on one knee talking to him. Jim Whalen, the trainer, yes. Did not participate the rest of the practice, followed Pepper Johnson around his back pocket.
Right.
And then when conditioning came at the end of practice, Albert was with the injured players doing, I gave him credit for ab work. You said he looks like a beach whale rolling around between the fields. But he did not practice the rest of the way, so.
I was like, I didn't want that on the air, but that's okay.
I said that on my office, not necessarily on the radio.
Something that bears watching is,
spirit, Fred.
You know, he reportedly or supposedly has bad knees. Be interesting to see if something got tweaked or if they were monitored.
I think to calm, if anyone's just getting a little bit too anxious about that report, after the cut, you know, after the high-low, it's not like they sat him down or or people were evaluating him. I just think that they said to him, look, that's enough. You know, you did enough first day. Because, look, he is a big man, and if those reports are true that his knees do give him problems – why overdo it on that first day?
Sure.
He stood on his feet the rest of
the whole
practice.
Time.
So if he was injured, he wouldn't be standing
and
up.
Stayed with his group the whole time. Yeah. The only time he was with the trainers was right after it happened, talking to him, and then the ab work at the very end. The rest of the time he was with his group the whole time.
Who was it that cut block him?
Do you remember?
I don't remember.
One of those massive guys.
He was
guys
getting hit high, and one guy was on all fours.
Was it an accident?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know,
but it would have been a penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't
accident
do
that. Or not.
And he got pushed over that guy on all fours.
I think the way they described it, there was a guy down, and then the guy that was engaged with him in the regular sense, up high,
tripped over the
sort of
in
the,
no
knocked
way,
him into him.
Let's be clear: in no way that was the guy that was down on all fours go for his legs or attempt to make a block in any way.
No.
He just happened to be on all fours he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, you could see Haynesworth's kind of look of surprise after he went down. It's like, hey.
Well, yeah.
That's not supposed to happen.
You're not supposed to go down at all, never mind get cut down in that type of an environment.
Right.
But the positive side is he looked really good for the five or six plays he made. The first one, he shot the gap, and I'm sure we'll get into the 4-3 talk, but the idea that maybe they go into four-man fronts and maybe even more into a penetrating-type defense, blew through the gap right into the backfield, and at other times was just overpowering the – it was like the guards didn't know, well, is he quick or is he powerful? And I think they found out he's both.
Well, I think that, you know, based on his condition and, you know, the knees, I think he's going to be a situational player. And he's in the game, that will be his role, is to shoot the gap and not play a 3-4 technique.
It'll be interesting to see. That would be my other observation. They've only lined up essentially in four-man fronts.
Right.
With Will Fork / Haynesworth / Mike Wright / Landon Cohen guys at true defensive tackles lined up on the guards. There were some unders and some overs and some overs and some unders too.
Right.
But and then Jermaine Cunningham at one defensive end and Eric Moore at the other defensive end as true defensive ends, with Spikes as the middle linebacker, Mayo on one side, Guyton / Ninkovich on the other side at those 4-3 outside
now,
linebackers.
Now, it's interesting. You seem to think, Andy, that if Mayo has the opportunity to play a true outside linebacker in a 4-3, you think he's just going to go wild with it.
I think his playmaking will increase. I think you'll see his sack numbers increase. I think you'll see some big plays. I think there's a chance to make some more of those big plays when you're out on that edge to, you know, sniff out a screen and get a hand on a football, blow a back up on a dump pass out there, and I think he'll get more pass rush opportunities out there.
The consequence, though, that and we talked about this on the podcast on Friday, I believe, was if they do change to a 4-3 and Mayo isn't the inside backer anymore, he's not the Mike, does he get the green dot? Does he still call the defensive signals? Because if he doesn't, then you have to probably give it to Spikes.
Well, my guess is, and as we talked about, I think he may keep the dot because, as Paul said, he's a three-down player, but I think Spikes may take over the on-field Mike duties of setting the front because he's in the middle of the field and has the vision and less.
They both had the dot.
We came to that conclusion after a 20-minute argument.
Right. And in the game, they can.
Right.
You can only have one dot in the game.
During practice, they both.
And you're not going to switch dots when they, you know, okay, Spike's on the field. He's got
the
dot. Change
your helmet.
Here's Mayo's new helmet. You're not doing that crap.
Yeah.
Kraft,
I mean, my initial
impressions
of Haynesworth is, you know, I've obviously seen the highlights, but seeing it in person, that first play, the suddenness that he had at the snap for a man his size took everyone by surprise.
Including Rich Ornberg.
Literally, Rich Ornberg was barely out of his stance and he was by him. That's how fast he was off the ball.
Yeah.
And
he's not fat. That's our other quick observation. Not fat. Doesn't look like Favorite. Doesn't look like Kyle Love. He is more in the mold of dude 6'6 and carries 335, which he's listed at very well.
Kind of like Seymour was big, but he wasn't.
Not that skinny. Yeah. Not in the Vollmer Seymour mold, because those guys can put on a suit and look
they
good.
Have
those
a taper.
Are freaks.
They have a taper.
Seymour and Vollmer are absolute freaks.
Right. Yeah. But more just average 300-pound guy, not fat.
Right.
I'll tell you the thing I'm looking forward the most, and you guys were talking about Haynesworth over the weekend. I can't wait for Logan Mankins to be out there, and they have some of these reps that you do. Because it's all well and good that he blew up.
I'd call team ops and get them ready.
But it's all well and good that he blew up Ryan Wendell and Rich Ornberger. I want to see what he does against Logan Mankins. Yeah. And conversely, I want to see what Mankins does against him.
Sure.
You know,
before or after the play.
Considered one of the best guards in football, I want to see how he matches up against the guy who everybody says when he feels like playing is as talented as anybody. That, to me, is worth watching training camp.
Yeah. Two of the best going at it. That's going to be.
I hope they lock up and they're on the same side. And I know that so far it would seem that they have.
He's been on
locked
the right
because that's where
defensive
Haynesworth has
spot.
Been on the right and Will Fulk's been on the left. So obviously, you flip it around. That's the left guard spot would be opposite of Haynesworth. So
the other star at camp, new star at camp is Ocho Cinco, obviously, and
Droppo.
I mean, he's certainly in shape.
He's so negative.
He's like Randy Moss. The guy is free. I don't think he could get out of shape if he tried. You know, he's one of those guys that has low body fat. It just always in shape.
And he's addicted to athletic things.
Right.
You know, his downtime is the soccer and the this. Even though he was moonlighting, he always is doing something active.
Unlike
Paul.
I've never seen a guy who vocally has expressed
how
happy he is to be here. He literally said he feels like he died and went to heaven. I don't know how that Bengals fans would feel about that. I'd be pretty upset about
I think
that.
They understand that things. They're not near heaven.
You don't think Bengals fans know that they're the Bungles?
I think they do.
Yeah, but if I was a hardcore fan, I'd still be resentful.
But he also you could be but I would be resentful honest. The resentment would be toward Mike Brown.
Maybe, right? Yeah.
For having like one scout.
It's not making
that
me,
would be my resentment.
It's not making me feel
he
good.
He also did a good job of thanking the Bengals fans for making him who he has become today. So he didn't burn any bridges there. In this interview.
So he's been staying late after practice and working on
his hands.
In his hands and, you know, getting off the line of scrimmage, that type of thing, with some of the defensive backs. He certainly is going to put in 100% to this opportunity. There's no doubt about that. But I think that we need to temper our excitement about Ocho Cinco if we think he's the guy that is going to stretch the field.
If you think he's Randy Moss,
right,
rein it in a little bit.
Right. He's a much different type of receiver than Moss. He's more of a possession receiver than he is a long threat.
Especially now. At this stage of his career, his average per catch is down around 11 or 12. You know, it's under 15, but now it's closer to 10.
But that's because Carson Palmer couldn't reach him.
Well, that's part of it. That is part of it. I expect his production to be pretty good with Brady throwing the ball, but you're right. He's not going to be the guy that's just going to run nine. You know what did Warren Sapp said? You know, no one ran the nine any finer or something like that about Randy Moss. That's not who Ocho
Cinco
is.
Moss had that extra gear that he would just throw it into and just leave a guy in the dust.
I would say Givens like in some of those post corners and things that are down the field, but not 50-yard bombs every play.
He'll make his share of 20-25-yard catches. I don't think.
But more in cuts, out cuts, comebacks.
He's not going to occupy a deep safety.
But I'd rather
the way that everybody talked about taking the top off.
I feel a little better now about the wide receiver position as a whole.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
With him in there.
Yeah. I'll let Bill know.
He'll say, "Who's Eric?"
Yeah. I was happening to listen to NFL Sirius, and Charlie Casserly was on. And he was talking about Ocho Cinco. He said, you know, Ocho Cinco's always been great at getting separation, but he hasn't always been good at precise route running. And that's something that obviously Tom Brady requires of his receivers, so it'll be watching that.
It's a little funny because all the players are talking about, and there's some varying degrees here, but his breaks in and out of his routes was the first thing I know Gronkowski brought up. Watching him come in and out of his breaks is amazing. He's got a special gift at doing that, which is obviously part of route running, but if he's doing that at 6 yards instead of five, that's where Tom Brady says, yeah, that was great and all, but be at five.
Yeah, you don't want to round off your cuts and all that stuff. That's part
it won't take long. Yeah. It won't take long to make the determination as to whether or not he can do that because Tom just won't throw him the ball.
Yeah. Right.
We've seen that before. He's frozen guys out many times. You know, if you're not where you're supposed to be, he's not going to throw you the football.
Right, and he'll make it known that you weren't where you were supposed to be.
Right.
He's had a couple drops, you know, three or four drops. I wouldn't panic.
I would not either.
Yeah,
I wanted to
mental.
Emphasize, I'm joking about Ocho Droppo. He had a terrible practice on Sunday, but I think he is over his head, and that's the other difference between Moss. You know, we talked about how much Moss was here or whatever before 07 and that stuff, but he didn't have a playbook. He just got the playbook this Friday probably, and is trying to learn the offense. And Deion Branch said it's not easy. He said, this is not one of those, I've played in a few other offenses, I'll just pick this one up easy. This one is totally different, much more difficult than a lot of other offenses in the league. So it's going to take him time. And I think if he's thinking, he's running down the field with the DB in front of him, but also thinking of exactly what he has to do, he's not going to catch as naturally. He's not going to be as comfortable and as fluid, and that's just going to come with time.
Now, if you are a regular listener to the training camp cast that these guys do after every practice, you've caught yourself up with everything. But another area that I want to address before we start taking emails and calls is the running back situation, because we haven't really had a chance to really see that whole unit so far. Sammy Morris has not been out there. Kevin Falk has not been out there.
Eric Catani's hurt.
Vereen has not been out there, correct?
Vereen, filling out the roster.
Vereen is unsigned.
So unsigned.
Is unsigned. Right. Ridley has been, though.
And he's looked okay.
So that's
flashy.
I want you guys to talk about Ridley and Woodhead and what you've seen so far of those two.
I like Ridley's, surprisingly, I think he's a pretty decent pass catcher out of the backfield. He's had a few drops, too, but better than I expected for a player of his inexperience. He hits the hole pretty decisively, has a pretty good burst, too. pretty good shake and bake out in open space against the one-on-one coverage. I think he came here
with more of the, you know, they said he was more of a fullback slash halfback type.
That doesn't look accurate.
He has more of a Fred Taylor build.
He's got a burst and his
position coach, who I happen to talk to for the post draft issue. I think his name was Frank Walker. I'm not positive on that. But he did not describe him as a fullback hybrid type. Now, he's a bigger guy, but just the way Andy and Eric have described how he looked over the weekend with a little bit of shake and ability to operate in space, that's what he says. He said that he would get to the edge. He could take it in between the tackles and outside. He could make big plays for you. Now, at 230 pounds, he's probably going to get bigger and maybe morph into more of that hybrid guy in the NFL, you know, when they learn nutrition at the NFL level. That's probably, you know, he's not going to be a big play home run threat more than likely down the road. But right now, that's the way he came. His 1 year, the knock on him is he only did it for 1 year. Why did he not get an opportunity to carry the football before last year? That's the knock on him. What was holding him back? But
even that guy said it. Walker guy.
And he said he asked himself that the question a lot, because he was the first. That was his first year.
Right, as a coach.
That he came to LSU. Right. He was at Ole Miss prior to that. He actually coached Ben Jarvis Green Ellis at Ole Miss.
And Ridley has far more wiggle than Ben Jarvis.
And he described him as having more big playability than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Not even questionable.
That's why I say it's not necessarily – that is definitely what the draft reports were saying, but that's not how they described him. You know, this whole fullback Sammy Morris guy. I think he could be a little bit more than that, although Sammy Morris was more than that in college too.
Right.
And he grew into that in the NFL.
Woodhead is looking
– when he learned it at the NFL level.
Woodhead's looking good, you know – by default, he's the number one back in camp right now.
Yep.
Taking most of the reps and doing a good job hitting holes. You know, it doesn't take much to plug him up, but he's also bouncing it to the outside at times very well. You know, he kind of just disappears, and then all of a sudden he reappears around the edge. And you know, I don't think he can do that 20, 25 carries a game.
No.
But he's going to be part of this committee, and I think he's going to be as effective as he was last year. I think we all worried, well, now that the book is out on Woodhead, will he be as effective? I think because of the diversity that the Patriots have, he will be. When he's in there, I think he will be as effective. So Taylor Price is another guy, wide receiver.
Looking pretty good so far.
So far is looking good.
That's his week one MO.
Yeah.
We'll see if he can sustain it for more than the first
week. But he's a guy that, you know, we were hoping, you know, now that he's able to have an off season, which actually he really didn't.
He didn't.
But
yeah.
At least he's on the same level as everyone else to start the season. We're looking for him to make that jump. And so far, he's making it look easy out there.
Yeah, I think the big thing with him is you'll notice a lot more reps on special teams, not just kick returning, but also punt returning. And I think there's sort of a message / question there. If you're going to stick, I mean, a lot of people think he's the sixth receiver right now, and at the very least, Tate has already proven himself as a kick returner. He might have to show that he can do something in the return game because, you know, there's going to be some competition. You know, if we assume that Welker, Branch, Ocho Cinco are locks, and then we assume that Edelman has already established himself as a fill-in / returner, and Tate's obviously established himself as a great returner.
Right.
I think they're going to keep six receivers.
I think so too.
Well, I think it's going to be hard not to.
I think they'll keep six too as well, but it's going to be interesting to see which six.
Right.
And I think he's a very interesting guy to watch because of that. There's two. A lot of these kinds of guys, these young guys that may be lacking a little confidence as they've yet to establish themselves in their career, they can go two different ways when you make a major acquisition at that guy's position, like Ocho Cinco. And so far, to his credit, it looks like he's taking it as a challenge.
He's going out to eat with him.
And he's working at it. Yeah, and he was seen locally here eating with Ocho Cinco and Deion Branch.
And he and Branch and Ocho are like Twitter triangle buddies, so it's a good sign. He's not like going in a shell or anything.
But you have seen that happen with guys. They sort of lose confidence because they take it as a lack of, you know, faith from the organization. Well, they obviously don't think much of me because they had to go out and sign this veteran, you know, to take care of that. So hopefully he doesn't go into that kind of shell and he's able to maintain the level that he started with last year. It seems like he's done that this year as well. Hopefully he maintains that throughout. Because
I'm going to make an infatuation-based prediction.
Go ahead, Andy.
Oh, here we go.
If they cut him, It'll be one you look back on and say, because he will have success somewhere in the National Football League. Maybe a simpler offense. Maybe that's his issue, coming from a kind of an archaic Ohio offense.
Yeah, and he talked about that a little last year.
Yeah, and it's not his fault. You know, he's not as ahead as some guys that come in more complex offenses. But I think if he leaves here, he won't be Chad Jackson. He won't just disappear. Won't be Kevin O'Connell, just disappear.
Right.
He will make plays somewhere and have some catches in this league.
Yeah, I hope he catches on and stays. Lot more to talk about, but before we start getting into emails and calls and going into the other position groups, I also want to throw on the table future moves that could happen. I'm getting a lot of emails about Osi Amanyura. You know, should the Patriots take a look at him?
What was that now?
That was close enough.
That was
pretty close. Leave him alone. Yeah.
Let him go.
Matt Roth is still out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, unsigned.
Manny Lawson has signed, so he's gone.
And why didn't we sign him for 1 year and $3 million?
I don't know. But he has signed. Other guys that you've heard about. Anyone?
Well,
Tommy Harris.
I'd like to get
Lofotutupu.
Yeah, Tommy Harris, Lofotutupu. I'd like to get Nate Solder, Rozai Dowling, and Shane Vereen in camp too.
Right.
They're still unsigned.
Well, I mean, now that light's back, who cares about
this
Solder?
This whole thing. Who was the team that gave their? Was it Tampa Bay that gave their first round pick a
guaranteed
contract?
Money? Yeah,
a lot of teams.
Well,
a lot of them have.
Well, suppose
that's an interesting
that is
one.
Screwing things up.
No, because that's a later one. He's right. That, he's right in a sense.
No, I know, but I just like the way he said it.
All the early
picks. Screwing things up?
Yeah.
They all do it wrong. Yeah.
No,
they
but
are, they,
he is right because all the early picks got 4-year guaranteed deals. The later end of the first round got 3-year, and he's at 20-something?
What's he, 21?
What are we talking about?
Claiborne.
Adrian Claiborne?
Oh, Claiborne.
Yeah, the Bucks were like.
So he extended where the 4-year expectation
wasn't
of guarantees.
He one of the first ones to sign, though?
It doesn't matter. It still extends the, you know, if some people were thinking, you know, the top 12 will get this, the bottom 12 will get this, the middle, whatever, that's kind of tweaking that scale.
Now, I personally don't get the whole guarantee thing. I don't know why you have to guarantee it.
You don't.
No,
but,
no. But a lot of teams have.
But the agents now are saying
and now
you
the
do.
And the agents are right.
This is
right.
Because they've done it.
Fred says they're wrong. Paul says they're right.
No.
Right.
What I'm saying, I get Fred's point, and I agree with Fred's larger point that why are we all of a sudden guaranteeing these contracts? But the teams have. So if I'm an agent now, I'm not doing my job if I don't insist on that.
Yeah. This mini off season has been the year of the guarantee. We were doing the math the other day. It seems like every contract for a free agent has been whatever the dollar amount total, 50% of that has been guaranteed, basically.
Except the Raiders. Cameron Wimbley got 70%
guaranteed.
He got like 30 of 40 million guaranteed, and the guy's a one-year wonder.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
He's not even a Javiga.
I mean, there's a fan base
I lose track
that
of
revolt.
Your classifications. No.
You know? Yeah.
And John Clayton reported they're $173 million over the cap. He really did.
He did.
And there was no follow-up tweet, oops, I hit an extra digit or something, so... I don't. And he tweeted that they'll get it done.
You don't. That's probably 1.73.
No, maybe that they're at 173 and they have to get down to 120.
Yeah,
I still
think that's unrealistic.
But he never clarified.
Your 1.73 makes sense to me.
Yeah, or even 17.3 is
doable.
Yeah,
but crazy.
Yeah, that's nonsense. So any
plus they, I still said, like I said upstairs, they lost Asamoah. He counted 17-16 against the cap last year. They lost him, and they're $173 million.
When you
over
pay your
cap.
Punter like $15 million and your kicker like $15 million,
that's a good point by you.
You run out of money quickly.
I was glad to hear that Asamoah, you know, went to the Eagles rather than the Jets, and I'm glad that Jerry Jones. To me, it was like two teams that I can't stand. Both got the shaft, and that made me happy. But you know, this whole thing about the Eagles being the dream team now—stupid. I mean, really?
Not with Michael Vick as their quarterback.
Yeah. So
they have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
For a team that's the dream team. Their offensive line still stinks. Their quarterback is injury prone. Their best
and
playmaker on offense is holding out. Right? Deshaun, he hasn't come back to camp, right? I mean, they have a lot of issues.
They hired an offensive line coach as defensive coordinator.
Right.
Now, I understand if you just have the best players, you're probably going to do well.
Now,
but still, there's steam involved.
They made some good moves.
Jenkins is a very good
move. And, you know, for them... Babin's a good move. I wasn't in love with Babin, but for what they do on that 4-3, now maybe with the Patriots, if we were going to try to make the switch, he would have made more sense. But, you know, he could help them. Clearly, they have a good secondary. I think they should keep Asante. even though they seem like they're hell-bent on getting rid of him. And Asante said, you know, if they've grown tired of
my playmaking ability, my big playmaking ability,
they can ship me out.
Freddie, would you take him back? Asante Samuel,
yes,
in case
I would.
You weren't listening.
Wow! He just stunned me right there. I thought for sure he'd go, no.
No, I absolutely
I would in a heartbeat.
Him. That's the first thing I thought about when they got Asamoah was, okay, maybe they might trade him. I'd give up a third-round pick for him.
What's he making?
Something like 9.5 on the cap this year.
But not salary. They are on the hook for the bonus,
yeah, I
right?
assume that's
oh, I'd give
partial.
Up a third for him, no doubt.
Yeah. That's got to be partial salary.
Would the Eagles do it? I don't know.
And he was a...
How about he's the player to be named later in that draft day debacle of a trade?
What was he? Was he a third or a fourth?
Who?
When he was drafted?
He was a fourth rounder.
He was a fourth rounder, right?
Drafted.
Yeah.
He's a little better now than he was.
Yeah, he's a little bit. He represents a little bit more than fourth round value at this point.
So, you know, there's still a lot of moves to be made. And from what we understand, the Patriots have room in the cap to make them.
And we've been told. And you brought up Umanura. Well, in case you guys didn't.
Is that what he was talking
about?
In case
you guys didn't know what Fred said.
I said Osi Umanura.
I would give a first round pick. Now, it's complicated because you got to give him a contract, too. But I think he's worth first round
value. A really big contract.
He's asking for a lot of money. So maybe that lowers the compensation for you.
Didn't he get 70 and 30 guaranteed? What's the guy's name, Paul? Charles Johnson, the catcher for the Marlins?
Oh, yeah, from
he wants more than that.
Who I faced,
Carolina.
By the way.
Good story.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
I don't really remember.
Better than this story.
He didn't get a hit.
We, of course, have to mention that Matt Light looks like he's good. It's not official, but he's going to be re-signed with the Patriots.
2 years.
Yep.
$12 million, seven of which guaranteed, according to the reports.
And that's good. That's a good thing for the Patriots because
a lot of money on the left side of that line.
They do need depth. Kazier's been released. He's no longer here. So you figure, you know, Vollmer is your right tackle, and now this gives Solder – takes a little pressure off Solder to be in there on day one.
Mm-hmm. And pressure off Dante to
hasn't been in since day
one. I think Solder went from being a week one starter to possibly being 16-game inactive.
Yeah.
Because,
I'm fine with that.
You know, depending on what they want to do with the backup tackle, they might look for someone that they think can certainly play both sides. Like, Mark Lavoie has played left and right.
Yeah.
Lavoie.
But Solder, by all accounts, is only a left tackle. So I wonder if that means he's going to be inactive every
week. Who doesn't know the playbook, and now you can ask him to learn two sides.
And a week and a half ago, everybody was like, well, he'll start on week one. And now he might not even be active on game day.
You know, and the other guy that I don't think the Patriots would ever get him, but he was released, I think, Olin Krutz. I like him. Imagine making him your other guard. I know he's a center, but he could probably play guard. That would be a line.
You're probably right.
That would be
Those interior guys seem to be able to play all three spots.
But he said he'd retire before he'd take $4 million, right, or something.
I'm going
to
do that.
Nice to have that option, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But that would be some line you got there. Anyway.
Well, what if the line develops into Matt Light at guard and Nate Solder at tackle?
You know, what's the word on him playing guard? Is that a possibility? Because I thought, you know, we talked about that. You know, maybe they
Andy's
do that.
Andy's making it a possibility.
Can
you tell?
To extend his career.
I don't think Matt Light would have signed to play guard, guard money, whatever. But now that he's under contract for 2 years, and maybe we're talking about next year, I think there's at least an outside chance he could be your right guard, right?
Maybe.
Move inside. There was talk when he was drafted, I believe, of him potentially
being
a guard.
There was definite talk when he was drafted of him being
a
guard.
Now he's been a left tackle.
People questioned his athleticism.
His whole career.
Right. Yeah.
People questioned whether or not he could play in space.
Now that flies in the face of my Marcus Cannon is your future at right guard.
Yeah.
So.
But if it's only for one year.
But isn't Light one of those guys that, you know, Belichick talked about some guys just can't play on the opposite side? And we always thought maybe he had Light in mind when he was talking about that.
Well, he actually said that.
Yeah, he said it.
So, but he'd have to go and play on the other side.
Well, he was talking about tackle, though.
Right. Even as a guard.
Right.
Mankins isn't moving.
Well, but he was talking in Light's case about being a right tackle. Guard play may be a little bit different. It might be a little bit easier to make the switch. I don't know.
Andy, you're the resident offensive line expert. Guard, tackle, would it matter?
No.
Yeah, I think if you can't play the right tackle spot, he probably wouldn't want to play right guard either, right?
Plus, Cannon's the guy. He's the future at the position. But don't forget, if Mankins is gone, maybe he plays left guard.
I'm not forgetting.
Maybe it's Solder, Light, Copen, whose contract may be up, and
he's
Cannon.
He's a pending free agent. Yep. You get Olin Krutz to come in.
Or move Cannon to center.
That's a big center.
Why are we projecting the 2012 offensive line?
Plus, the guy played tackle in high school, in college, and now he's going to be the center.
He's athletic.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Where's Luck?
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Do not pay the bill this week.
James, do you have anything to say before we start getting into some of the emails?
I'm hungover.
All right, then.
Even while saying nothing, he's interested.
He's out partying with Ocho Cinco. Did he give you a ride in his Prius?
He did not, know. No. He's just ignored me and everyone else.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Pats fans are already not happy. Drops passes and doesn't talk to fans.
He's
that's
not
no
a man
way
of
to
the
be.
People.
He's just no like Andy Hart. He's just like Andy Hart. He's a man of the people who hates
fat,
the people.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
He'll be fine.
Eric says, if Ocho Cinco is going to get number 85, what does Hernandez get? And do you think they'll have a big sale on Hernandez 85 jerseys?
Yes. Because he's 81 now.
He's the new 81.
He's gone to 81, which was his college number. Okay. So,
and he wears a red shirt underneath like Moss used to, so don't think it's Moss out there when you see him at training camp. It's 81. That's Hernandez.
And he didn't give he didn't force Ocho to give him any sort of
compensation. I think that's nice.
Well, he obviously wanted 81.
I think it's stupid.
I think he would have gone to 81 as soon as the Jeremy
Ross.
Ross. As soon as Jeremy Ross got cut. I think he would have gone to 81 anyway.
But he could have.
But now Jeremy
could have
Ross
made
is
50 grand out of it.
Yeah, but he could have held him up. Yeah, but I don't. You know,
he said that the other day when
I think he probably looked at it and saying, "I don't want 85 anyway."
As a guy who went from a potential first round pick to a fourth round pick who doesn't have a ton of money.
Well, he said we all make plenty of money up at this level, so it wasn't about the money. That's what he said.
Good thing to say. Pablo in Mexico City says, "While I'm happy with our personnel moves so far, I still believe we need a strong presence on the edge of the front seven. I think the Haynesworth trade, added to the reported workout given to Tommy Harris, signals a switch to the 4-3, which means that we need to look at a different set of outside rushers. The Giants have given Umanura permission to seek a trade and are reported to be asking for one. Would you trade for him? What is the most you would give up for him?"
A two.
So, yeah, second rounder.
Because Adam Schefter said they're not going to get a one, so I'll give him a two.
Well, I would give up a one for him. If that's what it took. But
and
if,
give him $70 million?
No, I wouldn't give him $70 million. The Patriots will never make that trade. If there's no compensation involved, they'll never give him $70 million.
Well, he ain't coming then.
Then so be it. But I wouldn't give him $70 million.
this whole possible move to a 4-3, obviously Bill Belichick has not said anything to that effect. Is this a complete media fabrication?
No.
And are we overblowing it
a
little bit?
That's all we've seen in camp, though. Yeah.
I think
but we've seen 4-3 in camp before.
Seen it sporadically.
The
we've
first
seen
part
it every
of your statement is true. The second part is not.
Okay.
I think it's not something that we're overblowing it, yes, but it's not something that's fabricated. The difference to me is something that Andy and I talked about on the podcast. We haven't seen them run 4-3 the way Andy described it earlier in the show with Haynesworth, with those two defensive tackles lined up on the guards as true. This is a true 4-3. This is not,
except for the overs and the unders.
Yeah, this is there's not four linebackers generally out there serving as linebackers. You know, it's a different scheme right now. And as Andy pointed out, one of the plays that Haynesworth stood out on, he completely shot the gap and was in the backfield disrupting a play.
Yeah.
That's not the system that they used to. Even when they run 4-3, used to run two gap.
But here's
that's not what they did.
Here's what I will warn people about Bill Belichick training camp. Whether it's scheme or player in a different position, the early practices are when you see that stuff.
Yeah, and I also will add this. And the reason why a lot of us are
true,
running with this.
A little different this year.
Ty Warren, when he got released, spoke to the Boston Herald and said that one of the reasons that they said they're going in a different direction defensively. Now,
we want guys in shape.
He was asked about this. Try to refrain from taking shots at guys that help you win Super Bowls.
And come just 40 pounds overweight.
Just for a second. Try to
goes up every time he says it.
Try to refrain from taking rocket shots at guys that help you win multiple Super Bowls. Just for a second.
And who also were active members of the community, the charitable foundation.
Has
anyone ever been
one of the nicest guys ever to talk to us in the locker room?
Ty Warren, one of the nicest guys. The least he could have done after a year off was come in shape. That's all I'm saying.
Now we will have to have a new guy to get Rappapat this year because it was always Ty Warren.
If only he had come in as good a shape as Haynesworth.
Yeah. Anyway.
How you like them apples?
He made it through five plays before he had to go to the sideline and get water. Anyway, when he said that they were going in a different direction, there was a follow-up to that in the Herald about, well, they've used 4-3 you know, formations in the past in training camp, and generally you kind of start with the new thing and you go back.
Right.
And he said that it was in the past, it's always been more of, we're going to try this and we'll go back to that. This is, this year he described it as, this is what we're going to do. So I do think there is some relevance to the fact that they've been playing a different scheme so far. Now, will Belichick stick with it? No, he almost always will be multiple. But I do think there's a difference between this 4-3 and the 4-3s that we've seen in, at the beginning of training camp, and even the preseasons of the past.
So more specifically, though, and here's the big difference in a lot of the 4-3 to a 3-4 is the technique that the linemen use.
Right.
Do you in what they're doing right now, in the past, there's been no difference between the technique.
So do you think that in what they're doing now, if they stuck with it, you would see actually Vince Wilfork shooting the gap?
Yep.
Or would he still have that zero technique?
No.
No, I don't think
you'd be
so.
Seeing him.
Well, there is no zero that, shooting in a 4-3.
Yeah, it'll be
four, there is. That's in the nose. Right. He plays sort of that guy that.
But he's a D tackle now. He's lined up on the guard. Right.
That's what I'm saying. He's lined up all
there's
differently.
There's a possibility you could see Vince Wilfork becoming that baby sap that people that he wasn't at Florida
Miami.
State.
At
Miami,
certainly, yeah. Certainly.
Florida State.
That down the Sunshine
one of those
State.
Big three.
One of those, yeah.
You know, FIU. I don't know.
Certainly.
St. Leo's.
based on what we've seen so far, that is accurate. They've been in traditional four-man front.
That's an exciting.
That is very exciting.
Exciting proposition.
I mean, imagine seeing him and Haynesworth penetrating. Oh,
and that's
God.
All fans are talking about. Like,
oh, my God.
The questions in the SPFW.
Unless he sucks at it.
The SPFWs are about, you know, the possibilities of this guy and that guy moving around. And exactly what the email just said, you know, Tommy Harris being rumored to have worked out, and he's a 4-3 end, and these kinds of players. This is what people are this
Harris
is the buzz.
Is a 4-3 end?
See, this is the buzz.
I could see 4-3 defensive
line. I could
see Mike Wright being
a tackle, right?
What?
Yeah.
I could see Mike Wright being an effective 4-3
I think Mike
end.
Wright has had to bulk up to play 3-4 end. So right. I absolutely could see him 10 pounds lighter as a more effective 4-3 end. Mm-hmm. Don't you think, Andy?
They're using
with his athleticism?
They're using him a tackle, though?
He's the second group of D tackles.
That's where he's been. But don't you think that he could do that?
No.
No,
not if you're going to be that good.
I think he could.
Unless you're asking that guy to two gap, I don't think he's that good. The defensive end. I think he's a big guy who's not quite big enough to what he needs to be. I don't think he's overly quick and athletic. Yeah, I don't think he can be a traditional 4-3 defensive end.
I think he could be a 4-3 end. I don't think he'd be OCU Manure, one of these, you know, Dwight Freeney.
No. I'm talking about
athletes, but I think he could play.
I'm talking about left defensive end, the guy who's the slower guy, not quite the elite guy who takes on the run a little bigger. I still don't think that's ideal for him. I don't think anything's ideal for him.
That's what I just, it occurred to me that I think he has the speed and the size to play end.
He's no Taylor Price, but I think he could play.
We'll see.
So anyway, there's a lot of opportunities here. And like Andy said, if you do go to a 4-3 and you put Mayo on the edge there, he might even be more productive than he is now. Which would be unbelievable.
That would be exciting, too.
I said to Eric or you or somebody, has anyone ever been an all-pro as an inside linebacker and then an outside linebacker consecutive years?
Well, have they ever done it ever?
I kind of
not just consecutive years.
Okay, sure.
But, yeah, consecutive years, too, would be even more impressive.
Connor writes in. He says, keep doing what you guys are doing, ripping everyone left, right, and center.
Oh, sweet.
We haven't even gotten into it.
I have not ripped Taylor Price at all.
But you had some twisting matches,
though. I actually started that email in the middle. There was stuff in the beginning I was supposed to read. He said, glad that football's back. Wanted to also follow up in an email about the Rich Eisen podcast. It couldn't be more different than PFW in Progress. It's so bland.
Professional.
And everyone Rich had on is the best ever at what they do.
You're lucky you buy lunch.
It's really painful sometimes. Jeff Garland is on, and Rich calls him the funniest man on TV. 2 weeks later, Larry David is on, and Rich calls him the funniest man on TV.
Who's Jeff Garland?
He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Oh. Don't get me started on when football players are on. It's the same thing. Keep doing what you guys are doing. And, of course, thanks for the practice podcast. Very good stuff.
Stiff.
Big and stiff.
On to the football question. Without the usual question of how he is doing, where has Eric Moore been lining up? I don't buy this 4-3 stuff,
defensive
which
end.
I'm sure you have been talking about extensively. Is he lining up 4-3 or with the linebackers? And just curious, haven't seen him mention at all. P.S. Solder is getting close to being the last first-rounder unsigned. What gives?
The defensive ends, and Moore is the right defensive end in the group that includes Albert Haynesworth and Vince Wilfork. I won't say it's, you know, any special group.
Jermaine Cunningham.
Jermaine Cunningham is also a defensive end, And Markell Carter, the young player out of Arkansas, is Southern.
Central.
Some Arkansas.
Directional.
We made our way around Florida. We've moved over to Arkansas now.
Right. As long as you get the state right.
True defensive end. And the linebackers have been primarily Guyton, Mayo, Spikes, Ninkovich, Dane Fletcher in the middle. Am I missing anyone?
That's about it.
I think that's about it. So, yes, this is a true – I haven't seen a traditional 3-4 set. Maybe I missed one.
No, not yet.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't.
It's 4-3, and traditional true 4-3.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's –
this is the first time I've seen traditional 4-3 in the summer.
Yes.
I mean, traditional 4-3. Let me ask
in a training camp where Bill Belichick said things were going to have to be pared back and they could install less, like, they're installing something they've never done.
In the past, they've had 4-3s with, you know – the inside linebackers are still like behind the guards.
Yep.
True inside. Like there's two inside linebackers. Brandon Spikes has been a middle linebacker in every sense of the word. He's the only one there. The other guys
Mayo's been out on the edge.
Positionally different.
Ninko's been out on the
edge. So let me ask you a question. In 4-3-3-4, what's the difference to a defensive back in those two schemes?
Nothing.
How much do they have to adjust if they go to a 4-3? Guys like Merriweather and Chung.
Not really anything.
Okay.
The seven guys are still responsible for the gaps up front.
But Chung can miss. I mean, Merriweather can miss a tackle in any scheme. Is that what you were looking for?
I will say the one guy who's now injured and was injured last year, so
Josh
maybe,
Barrett.
Forget this. Josh Barrett was being used as an outside linebacker type as the fifth defensive back, but more of an outside linebacker in some of the fronts they've been throwing out there.
Tank Williams a couple years ago.
But, well, Williams was a little different. They actually used him as some inside linebacker when he was being used in that role. This was more of a college rover type player, that fifth defensive back, but is he an outside linebacker, blah, blah, blah. But, again, if he can't stay healthy, then it's sign Jarrett Page.
Okay. Let's
still
see.
Available.
Walter
I'd like him to sign him either way.
Walter in Cambridge writes in, let's assume the Patriots are looking at free agency in the past draft with the mind that they are a 4-3 defense. Were there any missed opportunities for 4-3 personnel in the first two rounds of the draft?
Robert Quinn was a 4-3 defensive end at North Carolina.
With the acquisition of Albert Haynesworth and Ochocinco, do you look at the draft any differently?
No.
Okay.
The only thing I'll look at differently, by the way, is the talk today is that Wilkerson, who we really liked, is going to start on the defensive line for the Jets. But if he didn't fit this new look, true 4-3 front, that's another reason to make that trade in the Mark Ingram Saints deal.
Did Vernon Golston go to the Bills, speaking of...
No, the Bears, I believe.
Oh, he went to the Bears?
Right.
Okay.
I think he went to Chicago.
Okay.
I have a question.
Find out.
Do you think that this is more out of necessity, or this is a true... If he does it, let's just assume he does it. Do you think it's a true, you know, philosophy change, or more out of necessity?
Necessity meeting opportunity.
Yeah, I think
with
it's
the personnel he has, but
yeah, I agree.
I think he finally came to the realization that he didn't have the players he needed for
what he's
wanted. So he's finally adapted.
And he has the players like Wilfork and guys that could do this. He didn't have to overhaul everything.
Yeah.
And Cunningham, which he did, he had some Mayo. Even the fact that he played inside and out at college, I think he had some of the guys in place. And he said, this just makes it's almost like
it may
the
not
case
be
with
that much of a transition.
Patricia and Pat Graham and the coaching staff. It's what he has and what he has to do kind of come together, and this is the pie.
And so by the way, if anyone's interested, I know he's done this before, but in camp,
can you not interrupt him?
Patricia's got the headset on, so
yes,
I think
because he's the defensive coordinator.
Yeah. But who came first, 4-3 or Haynesworth?
4-3. I'm gonna guess. I don't think Bill. Well, depends when you think he knew he had Haynesworth.
It's a good question. And Zach from
I think it was a recent thing.
Yeah.
4-3?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
I think it's
that's a
pretty
big leap. That's
I think
a big
it's
jump.
A pretty recent thing.
That's a big decision.
I think he might have had an inkling earlier that he was going to do that and with the mind that he was going to go after somebody like a Haynesworth. So
if he had the mind that he was going after him in this NFL, it means he knew he was going to get him or had a chance to get him.
Zach from Syracuse talks about 4-3, which we've discussed, but he also says, I like getting Haynesworth, but I'm afraid it's putting all of our eggs in one basket. If he doesn't work out, we're left with Big Vince and really not much else.
To some degree, yes. But again, now you're only filling two spots there instead of three with those defensive linemen. And if you think Wright is one of them or Dedrick Pryor, any of these guys that have played, it's not ideal. Don't get me wrong. But
those
I'm not sure if Warren were still here, he'd help as a penetrating 4-3 defensive tackle.
The problem with those guys is they need to stay healthy.
Sure.
They need to be on the field, and they haven't been consistently this camp.
So we don't even know what they are.
Or even last year. So, yeah, we don't really know what we're going to get out
one
of them.
Kinda...
Except maybe for Love, who was pretty consistent last year.
Well, I'm also not sure he fits.
Yeah, he might not.
Well, one kind of clarification.
I got to go cover the team.
Okay.
I'll see you.
Andy, you just Why? Alluded
Practice
to this.
Practice doesn't start till 1:30.
Bill's at 1.
Bill's at 1.
Oh, Bill's doing a press conference at 1? Okay.
Yeah. But just to
ask him all the tough questions.
Andy, you just touched on this.
And then get yelled at.
You actually need less defensive linemen in a 4-3 than you do in a 3-4. I mean, it doesn't make much sense because you think you're going from 3 to 4. But the way the Patriots have it structured is they're using these tweener players as true defensive ends. Jermaine Cunningham is a defensive end. The only guys that they want for true defensive linemen in the style that they've had are the guys that the true 3-4 guys, the Ty Warrens, the Albert Haynesworth now, Vince Wilfork, Dedrick will be one of those guys. And whoever else out of all of those other unproven Cade Westons and Darrell Richards of the world, whichever ones of those guys pan out, they're going to be defensive tackles. Everybody else isn't. They only need two.
Yeah.
So that's why I agree with Andy. There's no way he did this with one guy in mind.
No.
There's no way Bill Belichick made a major philosophical change strictly based on Albert Haynesworth.
And a guy you
forgetting
can't
about
on,
how
you might be able to
cut. Forgetting about how unreliable he is. He would never do that for one player, even if it was Tom Brady.
Right.
All right. Darwin sends in an email. Let's see how this
Charles.
Email evolves. He says, I don't believe Randy Moss is retired. If it's true that New England offered a one-year deal and he turned it down, it's only because he doesn't want to go to camp. He's got too much left to leave the game right now. I think he's embarrassed by the last few years, and he knows how close he was to winning a ring with this team. Mark my words, he will join the team when camp is over.
I don't buy it.
Right.
He also wants to know if we would look at OC or Lofa Tatupu, who loves the idea of Mosi's son wearing a New England uniform.
So does Fred.
My first thought was, wow, Tatupu is a great athlete. Andy says he's obviously too small to play inside here, and there's really not a need, but making him a big safety, I think he'd have the athleticism to do that. But
he can cover kicks.
You know, if you did that, I'd jettison Merriweather. I'd try to get, a third-round pick for Merriweather. And,
Whoa. Lofa Tatupu is not going to be a full-time safety for you. Merriweather, with all his faults, is a full-time safety.
Why not? Why wouldn't he be?
Because he's a linebacker.
You'd have to convert.
Same reason Brady's not a full-time linebacker.
You can't just, change guys' positions like a snap of a
Bill
finger.
Bill does it all the time.
When?
You did it with the O-line.
And when was it successful?
He moves inside to outside, outside to inside. Guys.
So there's not. Whoa. So there was nothing special about Troy Brown then? Nothing special about that
guy? Well,
that
was going offense to defense. That was
Well,
different.
You're just saying you can just do it. Bill does it all the time.
He puts Vrabel on the inside, puts him on the outside, Teddy Bruce.
He was a
linebacker. Inside linebacker, outside linebacker. And by the way, he was
details,
special.
Paul,
if you're
details.
A good football player, you can play any position.
Okay.
And I think Lofa.
So Brady could play any position?
No, he's not a good football player.
But
That's what you're saying.
And a great athlete.
What?
And a great athlete.
Well, then we should draw for Randy Moss and put him at defensive end.
Well, yeah, getting back to Moss. There's no way Bill is allowing
Shut up,
him. James. There's no way Bill's allowing him to. That's allowing him to set his own rules again. That's what you don't want.
Right.
There's no way Bill is doing that at all.
Randy Moss's chip is like the smallest chip on the shoulder I've ever seen.
That's true.
But those shoulders, they can hold the earth.
Earth.
Let's see. Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Nick from Illinois is on there. He wants to talk about Rex Ryan. Hey, Nick. Nick? It's the Windy City. I guess Nick is gone.
You scared him away. He was there for a minute, and then you yelled at him, and he ran away.
Well, I just tried to answer his phone call. I mean,
You didn't have to give him that tone.
Let's see. Going to the email, Mike in sunny Florida. I thought Ty Warren was not only a talent that could have helped the team, I believe he deserved better than he got for his service. It seems that Bill may have had something of a vendetta against him, as witnessed by the ridiculous charge of him missing loads of time over the last several years and upset that he chose surgery in school over playing injured. What do you guys think?
Fred, why don't you handle that one?
Well, I mean, why would Bill have a vendetta against a guy that can help you? Because I thought he always does what's in the best interest of the team.
Oof.
Huh? I mean,
Paul, you handle that part.
I'll be this. I could see Bill
you
having.
You can't be fired.
Go. I could see Bill having a vendetta against someone.
But for what reason?
Doesn't like it.
Whatever he decides.
Ask Eric. He's got a vendetta against.
So the guy
Eric.
Decides.
He thinks he should have played last year. He said so. Okay.
He feels like football's not important to him. He didn't do what Bill told him to do.
So let's go with that. So maybe he thinks he probably can finish his school career.
Forget school. He thought he should have played through the hip surgery last year.
So then after having that whole year, still under contract, he comes back out of shape. What do you do?
I don't know. What did he do with other guys that have done that?
I'm asking the question about Ty Warren.
I would wait for him to be able to pass the conditioning line, like he does everybody else.
You've been paying him all this time, and he took that year off, decided to have the surgery, and he comes back 30 pounds overweight. What do you do?
How do we know he came back 30 pounds overweight?
Well, if that's the case.
But that's a big if. Well, if he came back 30 pounds overweight, then vendetta.
If it's true that this guy is going to be able to help you, why would you cut him?
Well, that's another issue. That's the whole going in a different direction issue.
Maybe there is a reason. Maybe it's not just, for spite.
I don't think he cut him for spite.
That's what a vendetta is.
But I think that was part of it.
He doesn't think, he could start 16 games for me, have 80 tackles and 7 sacks, or I could cut him because I hate him. He thinks he's fat, he doesn't care anymore, he didn't pass a conditioning run,
he's
making a lot of money, and we're going in a different direction where he can't really help us. All that goes together and you go, cut him. Right?
So maybe it was a football decision and not a personal decision.
Sure. I think it was both.
Yeah, I think there's a little factor. I mean, he's a human being. If it's a close decision, maybe he goes, you know what? He wanted to have surgery, he wanted to go to school, I don't need him.
That may
be 10%, may be 18%, that may be 37.2%. See, Peter King, I can do it too.
To suggest that he wouldn't, that doesn't play a role in any of these, I don't buy that.
But let's not go, whoa, is Ty Warren. He made a lot of money.
Not at all.
Made a lot of money.
Ty Warren signed an excellent contract for Ty Warren. No tears shed at all.
Mike in Florida also says, Paul, please explain the reason for choosing Vollmer over Brian Holloway. I believe a 3-time Pro Bowler, should get the best number.
Brian
76.
Holloway was a stiff.
You guys did the best numbers.
Brian Holloway was an absolute overrated stiff. I've had many, many 80s era Patriots players tell me such, that he completely rode on the coattail. And by the way, John Hanna was not one of them. But people have told me he completely rode on the coattails of John Hanna. Never belonged anywhere near a Pro Bowl.
Good. Rode the hog.
Okay.
And that's 4 or 5 different 80s era. And listen, it's not brain surgery. Who do we talk to? We had Steve Nelson in here a few weeks ago. Steve Grogan's around all the time. Andre Tippett is a member of the organization. It's not a state secret. Pete Brock is very active in the alumni. Those are the people that have said that Brian Holloway is overrated.
Right. Let's see. WebRadioPatriots.com. Jordan says, who will be taking punt and kick returns for this season? I know Bill likes to use Kevin Falk in the red zone. I'm curious if we can expect more from Tate this season.
Yes, he's been getting, if he makes the team, potentially, he's been getting more reps in practice at both. I don't believe he did kickoffs, I think, last year. I'm not sure he did punts last year.
I didn't see him do a punt. Maybe he did one. But for the most part, it was Falk and Welker.
And Edelman.
And then Edelman later in the season. I think Tate will be kicks and Edelman will be punts. But
Edelman has been the lead punt returner. Tate and all the guys rotate through. I'm trying to think of who some of the other guys have been on kickoff. But Taylor Price has had a lot of reps in the return game so far in, 5 days.
Sam in Glendora, California, says, what's up, guys? I'm new to the show. You guys are awesome and funny.
Thank you.
I wanted to know what happened to the whole Patriots looking at Tommy Harris. What do you guys think about that deal?
Well, it just happened yesterday, right? I mean, let's not
pretend he actually was in town. Right?
Reportedly.
Reportedly.
Who reported that?
I don't know, but I just like to always say reportedly.
No, I know.
Keep us out of trouble.
I know. That had nothing to do with us. It's not our fault.
Let's see. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. And there's a question mark there. Someone's trying to call, but I don't know who it is, so I'm not going to pick it up.
So read another email then.
Alex from Philly. I just want to say that I love the moves we've made so far, this chaotic free agency. Some people might think that the big names we got are too much of a risk, but I say you can't win a Super Bowl by being conservative, which is why I'm glad that Bill went against his norm and actually did something of significance in free agency. I hope that we're not done shopping, though, because I think that there is still a huge hole in our linebacking core. Could there be a Tamba Ali trade in the mix soon, or is that just wishful thinking?
Yep.
Anyway, two quick questions. What did we give up to get Ocho Cinco? And do you think that this year may be a Patriots versus Eagles rematch in the Super Bowl? Okay, as usual, keep up the good work. Andy, just do what you can, and I'm looking forward to the pregame social.
Now, who is this?
Alex from Philly. Doesn't think Andy does good work, but that's okay.
Fifth and sixth round pick they gave up for Ocho Cinco. One of them in 12 and the other in 13. I'm not sure which is which.
Right.
I don't think the Eagles, by the way, for all the reasons we already talked about, I don't think the Eagles would be in the Super Bowl.
No.
Too many questions.
Hmm. Unless Vince Young leads them there.
I think, you know, we haven't done our when do we do our PFW preseason stuff?
You know, before the season.
Yeah, but when?
The regular season preview.
First game.
When we preview
the first week of September.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I'm going to be saying is that this is going to be the year that
the Patriots win the Super Bowl.
No. Well, that's 16-0. But this is the year that a lot of those teams that have been on the verge of, you know, breaking out do it.
Houston?
Houston, Detroit, and maybe the 49ers.
They're not on the verge of breaking out of anything.
Well, I don't know. With the new coach, you know, there might be some.
And no quarterback.
Yeah.
No players.
We'll see. I take Patrick Willis.
What do you think of the email's comment? You need to be aggressive. You need to take chances to win the Super Bowl.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah, I think that more often than not.
Nor do two of the three Patriots Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, that is proven to be incorrect. And certainly, I mean, what did Green Bay do last year that was out of the box aggressive?
Well,
they drafted Aaron Rodgers before they needed to draft a quarterback.
No, but
not last year.
Not out of the box move to
a little bit.
Take a 35-year-old quarterback and take a first round.
Take a first round quarterback. I think that was a good move for them.
It was a great move, but I don't think it was out of the box. I mean, they needed to replace their, future Hall of Fame quarterback.
I think you got to give them credit for that.
I do because they evaluated talent and made a good pick.
TG and NJ,
but not because of when they did it. The guy that they were replacing was done.
TG and NJ says, wow, Fred, dissing on Ty Warren. Jeez, we know you hate expats, but the guy's seat is still warm.
Every one of them.
And he was nothing but a team player and a nice guy. Guess that's why your name is Mr. Steele. Look, let me get straight about Ty Warren. He was a great guy and a great contributor.
You hate him.
Still is.
But no, but I'm going to go against the trend of, Bill Belichick just cut Mother Teresa, okay? That's what they're doing. Like, he just, you know, killed a sibling or something. It's ridiculous. He had a reason, and I'm sure it was a good one. He doesn't cut guys he thinks that are going to contribute to them winning
right.
for no reason.
Right.
You know?
Assuming it's a football move, that's right.
Right.
But Ty Warren was Mother Teresa for you.
He was a great guy. I think
player-wise, he was Mother Teresa.
I think we said over the past that our defensive line was probably the nicest guys in the NFL.
No, but he was a pretty good leader. He said the right things.
Absolutely.
If you could understand him when he said
it. Absolutely. All the more reason why there's probably a pretty good football reason why he got cut.
Yeah, I think Ty Warren told you they're going in a different direction. We don't need two gapping ends anymore.
TG also says, are we worried about
Mike Wright?
Character
doesn't mean anything anymore.
Are we worried about Mike Wright and what?
Come on, take the bait.
I did get him to chuckle as he was reading it, though.
Are we worried?
Fred, you have to admit that looking at it just from afar, basically swapping out Ty Warren for Albert Haynesworth doesn't look great.
Right.
Borges wrote.
Right.
From that viewpoint.
Right. The guy who hates Bill Belichick.
I'm just saying, from that viewpoint,
okay.
Right? But from that view, you can't be honest and say
no.
You got rid of one guy who was kind of a saint and one guy who has a checkered past.
Look,
no.
If you want assemble a troop of Eagle scouts, he's absolutely right. I'm trying to build the best football team.
That's how we won Super Bowls.
All right. I'm trying to build a football
team. I'm just trying to get back to where we were.
Right.
That's all.
Not a bunch of choir boys.
When we, you know, weren't the last team in this town to.
I want to win.
So do I.
No, you don't. You want good guys. No,
and we won with good guys. Right. The Patriots way used to mean something.
It's still the Patriots way.
Yeah, I know.
It's all about football being important to you. And
right. So that's – listen, I was only kidding the whole time until you made that
call. Whoa, oh, here we go.
They go out and –
wait
go
a
out
minute.
And trade
football's
for a guy,
important to the guy who lays
guy
on the field and doesn't
absolutely
play?
Absolutely quit on his team constantly for 8 out of the 9 years he's played.
And
you think that guy – football's
important to him. We're going to see if he can turn it around here.
Okay.
Just like Corey Dillon. Who, you know, threw his pads in the...
Football was never a question for Corey Dillon.
Ever at all.
Man produced on the field and was dangerous on the field.
Supposedly, we have some good insight on Albert Haynesworth, some people who know him, and
Floyd.
They thought it was worth the risk.
I'm not saying it wasn't worth the risk, but absolutely the number one question about Albert Ainsworth
is desire.
Is football important?
Desire.
So don't say that that's the number one thing that we have.
Absolutely. And if we find that it isn't, he will be gone. I guarantee you. Are we worried about Mike Wright and what another concussion could mean? Did he not miss a lot of time last season?
Andy doesn't think he can play anyway, so I guess we're not all that worried.
Who said that?
I don't know. I was just reading between the lines.
This guy, 6-10, Mike Wright can't play. He doesn't listen.
Listen, I'm not the one that said they were going 6-10.
All these fans, you know, like they're all excited about this. They tune into this show, and it's all, you know.
We're excited.
I don't know.
I'm excited about Taylor Price. I've glossed over the fact that James Sanders makes $3.5 million on NFI to start camp.
I will admit, Fred, that I am not as excited about the two veteran acquisitions as most other people are. I'm not.
No.
I think they're good moves, but I don't think they're great moves. I don't think the upside of either move is anywhere near as high as everybody else does.
I do believe that they need to keep looking and not be content.
I don't think they're done, by the way.
I think Haynesworth's upside is greater than Ocho's.
Yeah, but they both have a lot of downside.
Haynesworth has a huge downside. Ocho's downside is just he's not that good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see. Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398.
Don't you think there's a chance of that?
I said
it wasn't just Carson Palmer. Like I blame.
I do think
on?
There's a chance of that, and I do think there's a very good chance of Haynesworth. Just it's not about where he is or what he's thinking at the time. He just doesn't want to play football.
He's out of his bleeping mind.
It's just not important to him. And I do think that he is a bright guy. I think he's a pretty articulate guy when I've heard him talk.
Articulate.
I don't know if we'll ever get to hear him talk here, but we'll see.
Well, we've been promised by the PR department.
I just don't think that it's all that important to him. And I don't think you can just snap a finger and put a switch on.
Well,
it's
we'll
not
see.
Like he
I
spent,
think he's cuckoo.
It's not like he spent the majority of his career, you know, toiling on bad teams and just getting beat, like Corey Dillon, getting beaten down and beaten down by the constant losses. And then he came somewhere else and finally they won.
Right.
That's what happened with Corey Dillon.
Right. No,
I don't think that's the case with this guy. I don't think this guy cares.
There's no doubt that this guy has some mental problems. You know, desire is the number one on the
list.
And
oh, by the way, he's on trial in 3 weeks?
Who isn't?
That's going to be
Who isn't?
That'll be fun.
You, as far as I know.
How do you know?
Myself, James.
That'll be fun.
I am on trial in 3 weeks.
Is he in representing you?
No.
The most boring Patriots fan?
No.
No?
It's a murder.
Wasn't a tax evasion suit?
I'm sure there's one of those.
It's
coming.
A murder.
James,
you wrote off how much for lunch for a radio show?
James is one of those guys that when he hires a lawyer, the lawyer has to actually travel with him and be with him all the time.
He's on retainer.
Right.
Do you have a lawyer on retainer?
My company does, and I get to use my old company does, and I get to use him for a
retainer.
Few years.
So you still have ties to that old company?
Yeah, vaguely, because it's very boring. But when we sold it, there was a 3-year earnout. As well as the money we got.
Now you're going to have to tell me what an earnout is.
I just like how he has to preface it. I'm the most interesting Patriots fan, so this story is not that interesting, but I'm being forced to tell it. So I'm going to say, well, it's boring, but I'm going to say
it. Do you still collect a salary from them?
No, I could have, but I decided not to. But what happens is when you sell a company, they'll give you a proportion of the money up front, and then some deals are structured. So providing the company continues to make a certain amount of profit and earnings over the next couple of years, because you just don't want to sell it, and then the next years it goes down the toilet.
Right.
But we're making all the money and things like that. So.
Oh, good. In Iraq?
Yeah, we got to keep you flush.
Yes. Iraq, Afghanistan.
That keeps us full.
Did you hear my little Twitter thing? That I retweeted a Bob Irsay, whatever
James.
His name. James Irsay,
right.
Owner of the Colts, quote.
Yeah.
And I said he was making fun of Jerry Jones. So I said, Irsay on fire, and I went to hit send, and it had automatically changed it to Iraq. And it said, Iraq is on fire.
Right.
See, you could have made money that
Would
day
not
in
have
Iraq.
Been good. Ever since he's been
on a watch list.
he's been in twisting fights with
been in
other members of the media.
Pakistan?
Yes, I have.
We have people that click on the blog and stuff from Pakistan. The software tells us where they're from, and we have people in Pakistan.
Very good.
Obama. Not Obama. What's the other
Osama.
Guy's name? Osama. I'm sorry. I get him confused.
508-298-0398. Chris with a T-I-N on the phone.
The
hey, Christian. How you doing?
All right, guys, what's up?
How you doing with the ass-whooping you're taking on Words with Friends?
Hey, is the game over yet?
No, but it is.
Okay. All right, so when the game's
Brian Hoyer's playing quarterback, he's picking my next word.
When the game's over, you can open your mouth.
Garbage time.
Christian, you can't lose to this guy.
I'm the 07 Pats.
When he wins anything...
Yeah, exactly, and you're going to blow it at the end.
Right.
Okay, go ahead, football. Yeah, wonderful.
I just want to let you know I'm in your neck of the woods today. I'm out here at training camp practice. I'm right in front of the media tent.
Well, stop by, say hello to Paul and Fred.
I will. I offered to buy you guys lunch. I Facebooked Kevin, but I guess he's not in today.
Well, we already got James, and no, Kevin's terrible at his job.
He's in. He's just incompetent.
Yeah.
Mike Reese is reporting that Dowling and Vereen have signed.
Yay!
All right. There we go. So just
right,
one guy left?
Yeah, the big guy,
right.
Who's no longer big. Cola.
Update to that, the Patriots have announced that Dowling and Vereen have signed.
I'm not sure if I buy it. If Reese says it, I buy it.
I just wanted to chime in on the two signings, too.
Yep.
I love the Ochocinco and the Haynesworth. I'm really not too crazy about it. I don't like the guy. Obviously, I understand why they signed him. You know, they're going to go to a 4-3 in this game, and they need the interior pass rush and all that, but just a bad dude. The guy's a turd, and...
Fred likes those.
I mean, I hope he proves me wrong. I really do. As a fan, I hope he proves me wrong. He comes out and tears it up, but
sure.
I just didn't like it at all.
He did for five plays on Sunday.
That's fair.
Yep. Well, we'll see.
All right.
All right, we'll see you at practice. Right,
tell everyone to put our show on their phone, and everyone play it at once outside. That would be kind of cool.
Play it, and go over to Ian Rappaport and play it for him. He evidently has never heard of it.
That's bull.
Oh, I'll make it a point to talk to him. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Christian.
Bye, guys.
All right.
See you.
Christian,
ass whooping.
He's at practice.
Killing him.
As we speak, Fred from Halifax says, tell Andy to apologize to John Clayton. He did correct his tweet about the Raiders cap. It's $17 million over.
I'm sorry, John Clayton.
That's still a lot.
That makes sense.
Over.
It had to be a decimal point missing out of that.
Right. That's still.
It was much more entertaining at $173 million. Imagine the Richard Miller of their organization crunching numbers. How the hell are we going to do this?
Let's see.
$173 million.
W. Beatty writes in, I've heard a lot about the D-line and linebackers this year and a bit about Merriweather, but who do you think will start at the safety positions? Also, if you could choose any defense in the league to be yours, which would you choose? Who do you think is going to start at safety? And I don't think this is a given.
Chung, right? I think, is a given.
Probably Chung and Merriweather to start.
Chung is flying around like that guy who has the confidence like I'm a starter.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Plus, he started last year.
You know, 13 games, I believe.
So I think he'll be a starter. I think Merriweather will be the other one, but we haven't seen Sanders yet because he's on NFI.
We know when the poop hits the fan who's going to be in there. That's Jimmy.
I have a question for you, Andy. Football-related question. If you're game planning for the Patriots, if you're game planning offensively for the Patriots' defense,
mm-hmm.
how much would it change based on two-gap and what? Forget 3-4, 4-3, all that crap. But if the Patriots' style is two-gapping, would you prepare for that differently than if they're penetrating one-gap team? Well, how much differently, I should say.
I think offensive line-wise, yeah. I'm not sure overall game plan-wise in terms of what I want to do. No, I don't think it would change that much.
Just wondering how much this will affect teams that are going to...
Well, I mean, I think you look at one thing. You never really ran against them. I mean, you weren't looking to run against Mayo and Wilfork anyway, right? You weren't looking to just pound it up the middle that often.
Sure.
So I think that'll continue with Haynesworth in there. Thank you.
Rachel's here with lunch.
Yes.
Ray.
Love it. Ray. But no, I don't think it'll change a ton. I mean, it'll change based on the success they have, how the defense unfolds in the first month, and you say, they're better this year. They're making more plays. They get a little more pass rush, whatever.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the specific two-gap stuff, you know, if how much that would change things.
I mean, that's an offensive line thing, just the approach dealing with, you know, now you're trying to run some misdirections. You're trying to get guys, as Fred would say, to go one way and take them that way if they want to go that way.
Sure.
Because they've been doing some slants and various things out of the four-man front. So that'll be that type of a thing where some plays are designed to get guys out of position. But again, I think that's a lot of that is just up front and how you want to block them and take them.
Let's see. Andrew in the Ukraine writes in. He says, I'd like to revisit a topic from 2010 where everyone agreed that simply on the basis of talent, there were few positions that the Patriots would win over the Jets. That was hard to argue last offseason, but in light of the injuries, retirements, free agent losses, disappointments, and surprises that have happened in the last year, it appears that the tables have turned, especially where the Jets used to excel offensive and defensive line. I think they will fail to control the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. Outside of Mangold and Ferguson, the Jets look like they will start Dukas, Slauson, and Hunter. That will not do well to protect an average or a below-average quarterback, and the current projected D-line seems to be Sione Pua, flanked by Mike DeVito and the rookie Project Wilkerson. I think this is the year that the Jets will start regretting
the decision to trade all their picks away.
Well, first of all,
about that?
First of all, they didn't trade all their picks away. The basis, the nucleus of their team is all draft picks. Why are Dukas and Slauson both starting?
I don't know. Because they're better than the guys? They beat out the guys? Or I don't know.
Slauson started last year, and Dukas is replacing Woody.
I thought that Wayne Hunter was replacing Woody.
Oh, yeah. What about Wayne Hunter?
Anyway, he might be right. I mean, I don't pretend to know the depth chart of the offensive line. I don't know who the second right guard is on the Jets.
And why is Wilkerson a project?
The defensive line, by the way, is the defensive line. I mean, Wilkerson added to Ellis, but that's the defensive line that beat you in the playoffs. That Pua guy that, you know, we scoff at because we can't pronounce his name, he's the guy that played last year. And DeVito played a good role for them throughout the season as well. So they're not stiffs. They have definitely lost some talent that they need to replace and figure out. I don't understand the contract for Cromartie at all.
But the real question...
$32 million for Cromartie, 4 years, $32 million? I don't know how much of that is guaranteed, but that seems like a lot of money to me.
But the real question there is, you know, before there were very few positions that, you know, on a one-to-one you'd pick the Patriot over the Jet. Does that still hold true? That's the real question.
Well, there's more consideration
now. There's more Patriots now than I would have, but I still think I would stand by what I felt. And also, we don't know what the teams are yet.
Right.
I mean, both teams have, you know, 85 guys on their rosters. Let me see what it's going to be. Certainly, Haynesworth is a guy that he gets the edge over the Jets counterpart. Last year, it probably wasn't the case with Gerard Warren, you know, heading into the season.
Right. But so much of this is based, I mean, McCourty. Okay, so you say he's better than Cromartie.
I'd say he's better than Cromartie.
But
yeah.
You're basing it on 1 year. And the tight ends are now more competitive. Dustin Keller is good. Rob Gronkowski's good. But again, you're basing it on 1 year if he has a severe hiccup. So I think it's closer. It's Chung is now a good safety in my mind off 1 year. But the bigger question is certainly defensively, they were way better on defense.
Right.
Despite the fact the Patriots had the Pro Bowlers and they had these guys, Will Fork and Mayo and guys that you say are elite single players on their own, the defense wasn't very good.
All right. This is the only radio show that you can go an hour and 15 minutes without a break, but we're going to do that right now. We come back, more of your emails and phone calls.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, here to tell you about the second annual Mo Si Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mo Si Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cascoletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul DeAngelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mo Si Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mo Si Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mo Si Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so we're gonna, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're gonna work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one knew, ever knew about. But there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip. While.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, and webradio at patriots.com is the email address. James from Brisbane, Australia writes in, and he says, hey guys, and Rachel, great work with the training camp cast, really enjoying them so far. Last season's edition of the camp cast still gave me one of my funniest memories of you when you closed out one show with Andy singing along to California Girls by Katy Perry. You did that?
I did.
Oh.
Maybe this year it'll be, what's the new one? Next Friday night?
T. You like Katy Perry?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's catchy. I mean, she's attractive as well, but her music is catchy. Even Paul will admit that.
Okay.
I mean, even me.
Paul likes all the pop stars.
That's my stuff.
Yeah.
To me, she's at the height of that right now.
Yeah, I don't like her songs as much as you do, but yeah, that's my, I have no problem admitting that I like those songs.
Paul's into Lady Gaga.
Nah, I'm not a big Lady Gaga.
No, you don't like Lady Gaga?
I'm not
Gaga?
Really either.
She's talented.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for someone who can, you know, James rip off Madonna.
There has been plenty of talk about the rumored switch to a 4-3 defense, which I'm in favor of, if it's what is best for the team. At least this way it sort of answers the question of why hasn't Bill gone for a pass-rushing 3-4 outside backer. I actually think given the personnel we have could give us a really good or at least more talented defensive front. The lineup of Cunningham, Wilfork, Haynesworth, Moore in front of Mayo, Spikes, Guyton, Ninkovic looks very good to me.
Ninkovic.
How would you line up the base
4-3 front given the current roster?
Well, what you just said, without Ninkovic.
Okay.
Bitch.
My game for you today is hopefully simple. Ready? You are starting a drive as the Patriots in possession on your own 20-yard line, but the twist is you are only allowed the same 11 players on offense for the whole drive, no matter how long it lasts. Brady and the O-line are given, but who would you choose if you were putting your best five combination of backs, receivers, tight ends out there, regardless of position?
I would definitely have Gronkowski.
I was going to say you're going to.
He's my next lock.
Right.
Well, he's athletic. He can catch. He can block. He can do it all.
Right.
Welker, Branch, Ocho, Gronkowski, and pick your running back.
I think that's a tough one, though.
I mean, right now I'd have to say Benny, but I would rather have
Ridley.
Ridley. Yeah. If he proves it.
Yeah, I'm going Ridley.
Because I want to be able to do both. If I go with Woodhead, yeah, I might have some big play ability, but I'm kind of locked in.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you go.
I might swap out Ocho for Price, but.
All right. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline and Steve in Toronto. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, hey.
Hi, I'm happy to talk to you guys today, and I'm happy to hear that James, the most interesting Patriot fan in the world, is there.
Well, we're happy that you're happy.
I'm happy that okay. Everyone's happy too. We're just a happy crew. Gay old crew we are.
Oh, you had to take it dirty, didn't you?
No, gay means happy. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. I belong to a gay organization.
Okay, my football point is I think they're not done. I think they should go after Osi, yeah. But I don't know if they will. But I think they're definitely going to go after Harris.
Well, they definitely tried him out. There's no doubt about that.
But you're talking about two different,
yeah,
not just positions, but caliber of player. If you get Osi, that is the pass rusher, playmaker guy. I don't care the defense that this team hasn't had. He had 11,
right.
11 sacks last year, 10 forced fumbles.
That's plays. If you go after Osi.
And he was hurt half the time.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. Is he totally healthy?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, if he's looking for $70 million, yeah. that's a concern, too, with a hip issue.
I was going to say, with a cap, are we well under the cap to afford a big deal like that? Or?
Oh, yeah, sure.
We could afford him. Yep.
I don't think he's looking for 70, but there's no way he's going to actually.
Seen some of those contracts that are out there?
No, but if he's looking for 70 and 30, then he settles for 50 and 25 or 20. I'm not sure the Patriots would be in any interest going there. I mean, if they're going to sign somebody big right now, isn't it Mankins? The foundation of the line, doesn't he get the 50 million?
That's a good point.
Not the pass.
Yeah,
rusher?
But aren't they already paying him 20 million now?
10. The franchise number for this year is just over $10 million.
Okay. Well, yes, that's a good point.
I'm all for Osi, by the way. I've been lusting after an elite edge playmaker since the day I started working here. They've never had one.
I agree, and I think he would, you know, make a tremendous impact, especially if they go to a 4-3, which you guys are all dancing around the issue, but they're going to go there. I mean, like Wolfwork and Haynesworth in the middle. And if they can find somebody, if they can find two guys on the end, then it's going to be like the Minnesota defensive line a few years ago.
Yeah, except Minnesota had Jared Allen and
that's a big if.
Ray Edwards. No.
Yes.
Ray?
Yeah.
Ray Edwards?
Sure.
I have trouble with those Rays and Edwards.
Yeah, but you guys were never impressed with Ray Edwards.
No, I think he's the fourth best on that line. But
he's better than Eric Moore.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't in the UFL last year.
Ooh,
yes, well, that's my point, is if they get Osi and maybe if they get Harris, then how
yeah,
does
I'm,
that
I'm
differ?
Yeah, I'm with you on Osi. I agree with Andy. I think that he would be he would add a presence, a dynamic presence that you've lacked.
But that's a big if.
Defensively, but that's a lot.
I mean, that's like saying if they get Adrian Peterson, they'll have a great power running game.
Well, yeah, that's unfair.
If Paul's aunt had what?
Wheels should be
balls should be my uncle.
Well, fine. If they had Jerry Rice, they'd have a great wide receiving corps.
Right. Yeah. No. So, but
I don't think that's. I kind of agree with Steve. OCU Umanura is ostensibly available.
No, I know, but you get my
and
point.
You can get him if you want him. He's available if you want him.
You can get in, you can get Tom Bolley.
I don't think Adrian Peterson is available if you want him.
He might be for the right price. No.
Everyone has
Larry
a price.
Fitzgerald was available for
Andy,
the right price.
Just admit that Paul is right. He's fat. Okay. All right, Steve. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline again. And Brad from the Eastern Shore. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. Have good week. Good weekend. Good practices coming up.
Yeah.
Exciting to be a Patriots fan again.
Okay. Woohoo! Again? You mean you weren't?
No.
At one time?
I'm saying that because I'm prefacing my call. My brother also grew up in Maine, but he lives in Ohio for the last 25 years. So I have an 18-year-old nephew who was born and raised a Bengals fan and is a diehard Ocho fan. So, of course, when the news broke, I texted him, and he texted me back, and he says, I'm now a Patriots fan. And I said, welcome home, my child.
Welcome to winning.
So, yeah, and I think that's the thing. When you guys were talking earlier, if you were to talk to my nephew, he is just down. I mean, for the last 5 years since he's been a teenager, it's just down. He's like, we're never going to win. We're never going to do anything. And I think the whole attitude of that team needs to be blown up. Ownership, management, coaching, the whole thing just needs to be blown up. So I think Ocho, you know, we saw it with Moss in Oakland, and he came here and lit the world on fire. Is Ocho going to light the world on fire? No. But I think he's going to come in, and he's going to realize these guys play to win. They don't just play the game. And I think that's going to be a huge upswing for him.
But the only issue is physical. And I don't know if you got into that with your nephew, but is he still the same guy? Is he still a 1,400-yard receiver? Is he still have those skills?
I think he can easily break 1,000 yards for us this year. I think it's going to be one of those things where you're picking your poison. Are you going to tighten up the middle so that Gronk doesn't run free down the seam all day? Are you going to shut down Welker by bringing safeties up close? You know, I think we could have a thing where every game you have a different guy catching 8 balls a game.
That's the Patriots way on offense.
And that's what I've loved for the last 6 years is Brady's going to say, I see what you're doing. I'm just going to throw all day over here to Taylor Price. And Taylor Price is going to end the game with 9 catches and 150 yards.
I like the way you think, Brad.
Now, my question for the day, though, is, guys, when you were talking about 6 wide receivers, and we now have 6 running backs on the team, and we're going to carry a 3rd quarterback for the first time in a couple of years, we got to start cutting some numbers somewhere.
Well, we got an extra roster spot.
Well, you're definitely going to cut some with running backs because you're not going to keep 6 of those.
Okay, so we've got Vereen and Ridley.
Maybe.
Ben Jarvis and Woodhead. Falk and Morris.
Yeah.
Which of those is going to leave?
Falk and Morris, in my opinion.
You don't think Falk will make it?
No.
I do. I think you definitely have Woodhead and Green Ellis, obviously.
Right.
Then I think you definitely have a veteran in Falk, if he's, you know, can. And I think you definitely have a rookie. But I wouldn't be surprised if one of the rookies is just kind of
not on the roster. I will say, obviously, injuries can toy with that mightily. And Andy brought up, I think, on the last PFW in Progress that, you know, a minor injury to one of the 2 rookie running backs might end up being, you know, an IR situation.
Right. Legitimately.
Yeah. Well, that's
because
what I'm saying.
Like Shane Vereen, he missed the first 5 days of camp. If he's here for 2 and pulls a hamstring that costs him another 5, you're done. There's no way you're going to be ready.
And you say, well, I'm going to be missing this guy for the first 2 weeks. Normal circumstances like Fred Taylor,
right,
you sit around and wait. You might not have that luxury. You might just
plus,
put him
if
on
Falk
IR.
Looks good, you say, okay, well, you know, we don't really need this guy this year.
Yeah, I just think that there's too much of the same there with Vereen,
kind of
Woodhead, and
between
Falk.
Between Woodhead and Falk and Vereen, we got 3 people doing the same job.
Yeah, that's why I think Kevin Falk, and you guys all know what I think of Kevin Falk, I don't think he will be a big part of the mix. Now, maybe he initially, if there's some questions with your roster, but I don't think that he ends up being an element of
is
your offense.
Is he the one that's let go, and then when the injury happens, he's back in camp because
sure.
He knows the playbook
not,
inside and out?
And he's not going to play for anybody else.
Exactly.
He's not going to sign somewhere else.
Exactly.
But does he want to be jerked around, too?
No, probably not.
But if Bill sits him down and says, I can't keep you, but you're going to be the first guy back in, you know, then it's up to him. When the phone call comes, Falk needs to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one other quick thing. Looking at the defensive side, I totally agree with your analysis of you need less defensive linemen with a 4-3. Looking at who we have, I am all for giving up a 3rd round this year and a conditional 3rd or 4th round next year for OC. after Vince and Haynesworth, we have a pretty significant drop off.
Yeah, I don't think it's the draft picks that is the concern. It's the amount of money that you're going to have to pay them.
But we're talking Wilfork, Haynesworth, and then we drop to Brace, Wright, Pryor, Diedrich, and Moore.
Well, OC would be a defensive end.
Well, I just listed a whole bunch of defensive ends.
Brace is not a defensive end.
He's in the middle.
Well, he's a Haynesworth type.
He's interior.
Defensive.
You got to remember, though, you know, these guys that we were calling ends in a 3-4 are much, much different than guys that...
They're tackles.
Right. They're not the same as an end in a 4-3.
But you can't have both Cunningham and Ninkovich playing ends, because then you're just going to get run on all
Ninkovich
day long.
Ninkovich is
an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be on the way out. He could be your long snapper or nothing.
I think you could have... I think you still need a defensive end, and that's why we're all talking about Osa Umanyura. But I think Cunningham will be one, and you're looking right now at a guy like Eric Moore as another. That doesn't make me feel very comfortable.
And that's where I am, Paul. I think OC, you know, yeah, maybe you sit him down and you say, hey, you're only going to get 25 guaranteed, and you're going to get a 5-year deal or whatever. But
only
I think
25
that,
guaranteed?
Yeah, I think
that's a boatload. I think that would get it done.
I think OC would take that.
I'm thinking, looking at our team.
I would do that, by the way. If that's what it took, I would do that.
Because looking at our team right now, guys, we may love the idea of a 4-3 because we don't have the Andre Tippett outside linebacker that we need, but we really don't have the players right now to pull off a 4-3 on the line. We have all these 320-pound, quote, defensive tackles.
Right.
And you need a couple speed guys, and right now, Cunningham's virtually unknown in this role because he didn't play that much last year. I agree that Ninkovich had his day in the sun. Is he going to stay as a backup linebacker / long snapper? Because you don't want your long snapper being a starting linebacker and getting his knee rolled up. Now who's going to hike the ball for the rest of the game?
Yeah, but the argument you're making right now for defensive end is the argument we've been making at outside linebacker for 2 years.
Thanks for the call, Brad.
I mean, we've seen them go with what we think is not enough talent, not enough bodies at other positions. I agree with the logic, and if they can work it out, I'd love to give $20 million, $25 million to Umanyura. I think he would be a lot of fun to watch. I just don't know that I would expect it.
Let's see. Sergeant Michael Conroy writes in. He says, hey, guys, how's everything when it comes to the 4-3 formation? Do you think that with all the time Bill had because of the lockout, he watched film and figured that maybe he should change his defense and surprise the NFL? With so many teams moving to a 3-4, maybe teams were catching up on how to counter 3-4 teams, so Bill wanted to change things up.
Sure.
Do you think that had any factor, the amount of teams moving to 3-4?
Maybe. I mean, the hard part is it's all he's ever done. He's been a 3-4 coach since the 80s. I mean, the early 80s when he went to the Giants there and all that. So you're washing away 30 years of football, his experience and everything he knows. But I don't think that would stop him. I think he's a guy that's open to any idea and any change if he thinks it's the best thing.
Keith in Dallas says, am I the only guy that thinks Ocho Cinco is not a good fit for the Patriots? Ocho is not going to provide the physical presence that we need and will not take the top off the defense.
Well, physical presence? Yeah. He's a physical presence, and he blocks.
He does get separation.
No, but I mean, he's a physical guy. He blocks. He's not a pansy like Moss.
Oh.
Does anyone remember the game he played against the Jets? He got tossed around like an effing rag doll.
That's a major concern for me.
I don't care what Ocho says about conforming to the Patriot way. He is still going to be a receiver that's worried more about his Twitter followers than actually playing the game. I personally think Taylor Price was and still is our answer.
Woohoo!
And the signing of Ocho Cinco is going to take valuable time away from his development. Side note, cut Julian Edelman and have Tate do both kickoff and punt returns. I'd rather give one of our other unproven rookie wide receivers a shot because Julian is a one-trick pony and drops passes when thrown to. Keith, just not happy. Keith from Texas.
I have a lot of things I agree with Keith on.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever happened to you wouldn't want Ocho on your team because he does Twitter and TV shows?
I said that. I want him to tone that down.
He's still tweeting.
Yeah. I want him to focus.
He's a Patriot now.
And he even said that he's not going to talk to the media that much this year.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see how that works.
Well, we'll see. Exactly.
He certainly hasn't curtailed his tweeting.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see. Let's go back to the phone. Sean in Salt Lake. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Really good. How about you?
Pretty good. I wanted your guys' input on the releases and trades they made, which, not to beat a dead horse, I feel getting rid of or bringing in Haynesworth is an excellent idea.
Okay.
But when we released...
Today, Junior.
Now I can't remember his name. The defense...
Warren.
Ty Warren.
Ty Warren.
He gained 140 pounds in the offseason.
By the difference of $600,000, like, whether we keep him or let him go.
Well, there,
so
what?
If...
Sorry, I was too busy.
Haynesworth doesn't work out, we're screwed.
I don't necessarily agree with that. We talked about that earlier. If this is a 4-3 team with a penetrating front, Ty Warren didn't really fit.
You didn't have Ty Warren last year. The difference here is you don't have Gerard Warren either. So you'd have to, if Haynesworth didn't work out, you'd have to probably pick up somebody.
No, but the difference is, what are you playing?
No, if you play a 4-3 and you have the penetrating style and Haynesworth doesn't work out, what do you do? The answer was, I agree.
Was not Ty Warren.
1,000% was not Ty Warren, but what is the
Myron
answer?
Pryor.
He could do that.
I'm not saying, you know, same level of performance.
He could
but
do that.
I don't think he has that skill set.
I mean, I don't think that that is a discernible difference. 3-4, 4-3, 2-gap, 1-gap, Myron Pryor part of the equation.
No, I think it suits his skills a little better, though.
I agree. I think that's
so why would
that.
We release him instead of trade him for a draft pick?
I'm not sure anyone would have traded for an injured guy who missed all of last year with pretty big money on the books.
Yeah, I think it's probably the contract. I don't – listen, I love Ty Warren, but his production has dropped. So I'm not sure what kind of value he had on the open market. And we're seeing that right now. No one's really
– Crumpler coming back?
I would like to see him back. I didn't care for that move.
I wouldn't dismiss that one. I think that's an underrated one.
I think letting those two yahoos to their own devices is dangerous game to play. Although your guy's mature, right? Lee Smith, very mature?
Yeah.
Isn't that what his college coach
said? He had an early problem in college at Tennessee, and by all accounts, is completely – he was a two-time captain at Marshall and was told that he should have been a three-time captain. He was actually the captain as a sophomore.
See, so he's the kind of guy who can tell them
he oozes, absolutely oozes – professionalism, according to his positional coach. However, I think that's a tough sell to have a rookie fifth-round pick come in and keep your two star, quote-unquote, tight ends in line.
I didn't say it was ideal. I'm just saying that's kind of the book on him is mature. Thanks not the book
call,
on the
son.
Other two.
Let's see. Strippers are saying that Monique Walker is tweeting out that the Patriots have signed defensive end Christian Cox out of Utah, 25-year-old undrafted rookie, 6'3", 250 pounds.
I've heard they like Cox.
We're all set now.
He's
an undrafted rookie?
Yeah, that came out this morning.
We should, if we're going to do that kind of bookkeeping, it appears that Jonathan Crompton was released.
Going straight back
out
to Crompton.
Straight out of Crompton.
We knew that writing was on the wall when the three quarterbacks were doing drills as quarterbacks, and he was a scout team punt coverage guy.
Covering punts.
I had to think he, you know, felt that was coming.
Louie in Illinois says, hey, guys, I was calling with a couple questions. First off, would you trade for Asante Samuel?
Yep.
I asked this because I read somewhere that he and Bill didn't get along well. Plus, in that article, I also read that Asante didn't really try to catch the ball the play before the Tyree play. Yeah, I think he's wrong on both counts. I think Bill did get along with him, and I think that obviously he tried, but he mistimed it.
I know he's wrong on the Bill count because I've been told specifically that that wasn't the case.
And secondly, I did some research on Ali, Tamba Ali, and I noticed that all his sacks came versus the Raiders and Broncos. With this in mind, would you still trade for him? And finally, I've been wondering this for a long time. Do you think that Vrabel and Willie in their prime were better than Ware or any pass rusher nowadays? Like always, keep up the good work and F the Jets.
Any Patriots pass rusher nowadays? Or any pass rusher, period?
I think he said Ware, so.
Yeah, any pass rusher.
Yes, they were better than any pass rusher nowadays, but.
Really?
Just any Jags. I mean, well, I don't know.
Who
get the
are we talking about?
Vrabel and Willie McGinnis.
A better than
we're
who?
Mid-level pass rushers.
He's better than DeMarcus Ware.
DeMarcus Ware,
Ware
is better.
DeMarcus Ware is better. Clay Matthews is better. Right. James Harrison's better.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I thought he was asking, if he was better than any of the top guys now.
Did you see the shot that who took it? Might have been Sapp, that DeMarcus Ware is an elite athlete and a great player, but he couldn't lead a invites a crew of ants to a picnic in his own backyard or something.
Okay.
Not a leader.
Unlike the exemplary leadership that Warren Sapp showed throughout his career.
Be careful. It may have, may not have been Sapp. I forget exactly.
Thank you, Paul.
But questionable leadership, apparently, for DeMarcus Ware.
508-298-0300.
I thought you wanted me to actually hold it up to your mouth and tip it for you, too.
If you would.
Just the tip.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
Anthony, Ray likes that one a little.
Anthony in Naples is on the phone.
She likes the tip.
Hey, Anthony.
My God!
What's going on?
She's a little red now.
How you doing, Mr. Pettigrew?
Very good, sir.
Actually accomplished things in his life, unlike the other guy that's not there.
Eric?
Yeah, he's not here.
That's true. Yes. We like this show when he's not here. I'd make this trade every day.
OC and no Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, is it official yet with Matt Light?
Not official, but you know, it seems pretty close.
Bill would not talk about him because he's not officially under contract yet, but I would say...
So the MO for that in camp so far has been he could be on the field in 10 minutes
Correct.
When we go back out there.
Correct. The last time he said that was about Haynesworth. We went out moments later, and Haynesworth was out there.
Now, how do you feel about the situation? I'll be honest with you. I have a little bit mixed emotions about it. If the speculation is true about, what is it, like a $12 million contract, seven guaranteed.
See.
So, you know, obviously it would probably be a two-year deal. That's the word out there.
Yes.
It is a two-year deal.
What's that?
It is a two-year deal, according to the Associated Press.
Now, my thing is, like, not to get on Matt Light, sure, you know, it's great, it's fine. My biggest problem is, it's a good thing that he's coming back, but I look back at the draft where they had two first-round picks that basically are going to be irrelevant for this season.
It's a good point.
You know what I mean? What's that?
It's a good point. If Solder, as Paul said, could go from a 16-game starter to a 16-game inactive with one signing and one missed training camp.
Whether he's inactive or not, you'd have to say that barring an injury to Light or Vollmer, he's going to be irrelevant this year.
Theoretically.
Yeah, but that's
hold on for a second. No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, what if you just signed Light as an insurance policy? What if the intention is...
I don't sign $7 million insurance policy.
Yeah,
you're willing to pay that money you know, to have him as an insurance policy.
It's a bad signing.
The only way it looks good in my mind is that if they're going to grow... But the thing is, like, let's go back a little bit, and I listened to Bill at his word. He looks at Matt Light only playing the left side. The same thing with Nate Solder. So mm-hmm. It's like, okay, which is it? Now, if you mean to tell me, like, you almost salvage those two first-round picks, if Matt Light is put into the left side, they bring along Solder halfway through the season, he comes into the left, and maybe they groom in Light to play that right guard spot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's the only way it makes sense. Other than that, these two first-round picks that were just wasted this year. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I wouldn't look at the second one as wasted. They made a trade for one in the future as they are...
I'm
you know,
sick of the future.
Want to do.
Sick of the freaking future.
I get that. I understand that.
I'm never
that.
Happy.
No, I get that. I can understand that,
you know,
that frustration.
How many times are we going to look towards the future and then we see Brady's window over here closing? Are you going to put all your money on Matt Light? I mean, Ryan Mallett? I don't know.
You know, look
at Andy
No, I'm not.
Mallett Price, twice as nice. You've been saying it for how long?
It's not bad, but I never said it.
That's great. Now you have three guys. Hey, we're looking for the future. The future looks great. But you know what? The window's now. You got to win now. I'm sick of the future.
And if Taylor Price does well, the future is now. You know, and one of the things about looking to the future and gathering those picks, make it possible to do moves like getting Haynesworth and Ocho Cinco and... You know, so it's not like they don't do anything with their draft picks. Whether or not they use them on draft day, they still use them to build their team now.
So if Matt Light was signed to this deal before the draft, would they have taken Nate Solder?
It's a good question. It's a really good question.
And that's my point. He might be an all-pro tackle for the next 10 years.
But if he is, then you got to say it was a good pick. You can't say it was a wasted pick.
Yes, it's a good pick, but I'm sorry, Paul. Brady is how old now? 35?
34.
You know, 34 going on 35?
I think it'll be 34 tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Okay, so 34.
Right?
But it's like, and he's not the biggest guy. One of these days, he's going to get that hit where it's just like, all right, you know, he's not going to be the same Brady.
This is the most negative call we've ever had.
Right, well, I mean.
Who urinated in your Cheerios this morning?
It's not that. Actually, I'm probably still a little hyped up from the Sobe No Fear. So I get a little angry.
No, I can't really. I can't argue specifics about what you're saying. I think the window is closing on Tom a little bit. I still think he has some great football left in him, however.
I agree with you, Paul, but come on. Two first-round picks. Stop
pushing them off of next year. Let's go here.
But so, all right, let's just say
you
this.
Did push them both off. If Solder doesn't play,
but
and
let's
then
say this,
trade
though.
The other.
So
you took the left tackle of the future, okay? So if you didn't sign, to kind of conversely go on James's point, if you didn't sign Light, you'd be okay if you had Solder because it was your first round pick and you'd start him?
The way that I look at it is that with Karnacki, I kind of trust him. So obviously he gave him high grades for obviously to spend a 15 overall pick on him. Right. So, are you just going to throw him in there with the Wolves?
Well, it makes more sense, Anthony, to say, oh, they wasted money on Light than to say they wasted a first-round pick.
But do you think their view of Light changed because Solder 5 days in wasn't signed?
Anything? That I think is a legitimate question that Bill would never answer.
I agree.
But I think that's the first thing that came to mind yesterday morning when I was driving to work and found out that Light had re-signed. I said to myself, I'd love to ask Bill, did Solder's holdout, for lack of a better term, impact this? Now, he's not going to admit that. He's not going to admit that either way.
So, Anthony, what would you have done? Would you have drafted someone else?
Anthony?
Crickets.
Oh, I'm sorry. The question was...
Would you have drafted someone else besides Solder if it was up to you?
If I had known Light was coming back?
No,
you didn't know
either
that.
Either way. Though. I mean, look, for the last couple of years, we've been wondering what is Light's future and when will it end?
Yeah. It's just, to me, I kind of looked at it was like mismanaged. I don't know. To me, I look at the window for Brady is 2 to 3 years. And it's just like to have two first picks like that just kind of pushed off into the distance. And it's like, yes, is it great value to pick up Ocho? Great. To me, that's all bonus stuff, you know? And the same thing with Haynesworth. To me, there's a no-lose situation with Haynesworth. It's like, whatever. It's a throwaway fifth-round pick. Let's see if it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Big deal.
Right.
You know? But it's just like when you talk about two first-round picks, and legitimately, there's a lot of teams out there, their first-round picks make an impact, you know? And it's just like, let's look at the future. We got plenty of time.
But theoretically, if they hadn't have taken Solder, Matt Light hadn't have re-signed, then where would you be in looking after Brady today?
But the opposite of that, you could say if they had just signed Light to an extension last January, then you go into the draft, and
exactly.
I'm assuming that Anthony would have criticized the pick of a left tackle.
Yeah.
Right? You would, if they had re-signed Light in January for 2 years, $12 million, same deal that's reported now, and then they took Solder at 17, what would your reaction have been?
Oh, this reaction multiplied by 10.
Well, I would have loved
I kinda
to have
wish they
that.
Did that.
You know, I just look at it like, I just hope. To me, like, the two-year deal is nothing, because it's really just all money. It's not like...
Yeah, and it's
you know,
probably more like a one-year deal anyway. I'm sure they can cut
them. Yeah, exactly. It's really looking like a one-year deal, and that's fine. But it's just like, I would like to know. It's like, okay... Are you grooming Matt Light? Is he going to be a right guard? You know, I just look at the hope as in, like, maybe Nate Solder will get there on the left side halfway through the year. I don't know.
But
that's the only hope I have.
Andy will ask Matt Light today.
Maybe.
All right, Anthony. Thanks for the call.
Right,
will you play guard next year?
Let's see. Bad Kevin writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and D-Bag. I'd like to chime in on the Randy Moss talk. If everyone will remember last year when we traded Moss... And then the Pats continued to roll through their schedule. The majority of Pats Nation was very happy with the move. Why would anyone want him back? We had the best offense in the league without him. There's no room for both him and Chad in the locker room. Did we not learn anything from T.O. and 85 on the same team? I know I may be looking ahead, but I looked at the Pats schedule, and damn, what a bitch. I think that the Eagles-Pats game will become a Sunday night game, which I know pleases you guys. And now to a question. Is there any chance that Brian Hoyer will get traded and we have Mallett as a backup?
Nope.
I listened to the training camp podcast with Andy on Sunday night, and he was very high on Mallett. Any chance Hoyer goes, and what would we get for him?
Nothing.
Thanks, guys. F the Jets.
Lending further credence to the Mallett price twice as nice.
Whoa. I talked about one play.
Espousing.
I talked about the play of the day where he hit Taylor Price in stride down the right sideline for a 55-yard touchdown.
I don't know where I came up with it.
He also has shown inconsistency in camp. He's had multiple fumbled snaps.
He's
throwing interceptions. He's telegraphing throws. He has a long windup on some throws. There's a lot to like, but there's also a lot to dislike.
He's
a rookie quarterback.
I'm teasing Andy, obviously, but let's just keep in mind that they've basically had two practices. They've been in full pads twice.
And by the way, James Sanders is in pads.
Woohoo!
But it's not as if anyone's knocking down the door.
Glad I carried him out for him then.
Sorry, it's now Sanders mallet price twice as nice.
Thrice is nice.
Exactly.
Paulie in L.A. on the phone. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Turn your radio down.
Uh-oh.
Always wanted to do that.
Or your computer.
Any better?
Yes, perfect. Go ahead, Paulie.
Awesome. Hey, first of all, I got to say really quick, thank you for the offseason. You guys were a saving grace, truly.
I agree.
What a douche.
Of course you do, Paul.
thank you.
Thank you very much.
And also the Camp Review cast has been fantastic. I really like it. Keep it up, fellas.
Even the one with Eric and
Bilo? The Bilo Eric one, though.
That was the best because it set the bar so low.
Eric and Bilo.
Eric really knows how to close out a show, I must say.
Should I say it set the bar below.
Oh. Eric treats his podcast like his relationships with women. Can't close.
Is there no Negativino and no Kevin?
Yeah, it's been a great show. Ray Ray's doing a fine job.
Negativino. Okay, so let me try and get this question out, see if I can succeed at this. Reese put out a little note this morning about sacks in the past 10 years, and it seemed like they were pretty much really strong with, like, the Willie McGinnis time, and then it kind of gets a little soft in the mid, and then it kind of weakens the last couple of years, except for Banta Kane.
Don't leave Colvin out of that.
Yes, of course.
Colvin had, like, three or four 8-9 sack seasons.
Yes. He's basically saying that, you know, we've been really good on QB pressure and getting sacks over the past 10 years, more or less, on average, I should say. I'm curious if, looking at how we were the, quote-unquote, one of the worst defenses last year, have we addressed the issues for this upcoming season? And do you think a Haynesworth signing and such on defense brings us, you know, back to the middle of the pack or better?
I think that, you know, in total number of sacks, that may or may not be true. But if they are truly going to go to a 4-3 with, you know, penetrating interior linemen, it will help the pressure on the quarterback. Yeah. And really, when you say they were the worst defense last year, what we're talking about is the worst third down defense last year.
Right.
Which
right.
meant they
well, yes.
quarterbacks had too much time. So it doesn't have to always end in a sack. But you have to get that ball out of the quarterback's hand before he wants to do that. And Haynesworth and Wilfork penetrating can do that. It may not always end up in a sack. The numbers could be a little more of the same. But if the pressure gets better, right. they'll get better on third down.
Indirectly is the word. They've addressed it indirectly. They brought Bodden back, so your pass coverage should be a little bit better, which could help in the pressure/sack area. And you bring in Haynesworth, who can collapse the pocket a little. The outside, you haven't done anything.
Yeah, but you made another good point, Andy, that on your podcast, if Wilfork and Haynesworth are both double-teamed, if they both take up two players,
then Cunningham and Moore look much better. But you haven't addressed the actual guys at those position who are, as Paul likes to point out with Eric Moore, fresh off the streets of the UFL, the now defunct.
and I'll add, you know, to the concerns, if you're relying on Wilfork and Haynesworth to provide pass rush, and I'm not saying, I agree with you, Fred, I'm not saying sacks, pass rush, pressure.
Pressure.
What's to prevent other teams from doing exactly what a lot of teams did to that famous Minnesota line and when they were in Buffalo with Pat Williams and these big fatties? Just up the tempo and get those guys off the field, get them tired.
And you could.
And you could easily do that because there's not a lot of depth for the Patriots on the defensive line. So if you want to try to make those guys three-down players, which I'm not sure either one of them is a ideal three-down player, as great as Wilfork is.
Not all three-down.
That's why I think Haynesworth might be a situational guy.
Yeah, well, if that's the case,
but if you're basing your defense around him and your improvement in all these areas.
If they're part-time players,
maybe
then
maybe you're basing your third-down defense around him.
Right.
Maybe. Right. But my point is just that we all said that, you know, you had the argument, who made each other? Randy Moss, did he make Wes Welker, or did Wes Welker make Moss? And the offense was great when they were together. They were great because both players are really good. They made each other. They both were capable. In my opinion, you know Wilfork and Haynesworth are very good. They're very talented. And that can help the ends, but I don't think the ends are good enough to really take advantage of it.
No, that's a good point.
That's how I feel about it.
Yep.
How much depth do we have at safety?
Plenty.
I think that's one of the deepest spots on the team. certainly the deepest spot on defense.
I mean, you start with Sanders, and then you look behind him on the depth chart.
Yeah. Paulie, thanks for the call.
See you, Paulie.
Thanks, Paulie.
Paulie from L.A.
Is
all right,
it hot in here?
It's getting a little warm, but just in time because
hot in here.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW In Progress. These guys have to rush out to practice right now, which is going until 4 o'clock today.
4:30.
4:30 now?
So if you're close, come on down.
Yeah, and then they'll have all the updates afterwards.
You might win a new car.
Camp podcast and all that.
Really?
So,
come on down.
Stay online with Patriots.com throughout the day and throughout the week, and we'll be back Thursday. See you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.